All right, let's begin again.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Jesus, I give you the praise for this.
Jesus was a poor black man who lived in a country and who lived in a culture that was controlled by rich white people.
Everything's gonna be okay, right?
Who would do something like that?
Jews.
Wonderful. That's very good. I don't get it.
So congratulations to all of us. And may equality live long and prosper.
It was almost instinctive the way the guys looked at each other.
Holla.
Give it up.
And now.
This is an environment of welcoming, and you should just get the hell out of here.
Our feature presentation.
It is Tuesday morning, and it is the 16th of September.
This is gonna be the best month ever.
No kidding.
I don't even want to know what's gonna be happening around 27, 28.
Yeah. A little concerned about what's left too, by the way. I don't know how we're supposed to handle this. I've already fired off a strongly worded letter this morning to all of the networks, radio and television stations, every station in America. I've already written a strongly worded letter.
Really? What?
Well, flip around the dial this morning and you'll see that there are stations on the TV and the radio that are talking about things that aren't Megan Fox's lesbian affair. Now, why would you be on talking about Barack Obama and freaking John McCain? Why would you be on talking about the train crash in the Valley? Why would you be talking about the Wall Street meltdown when Megan Fox has given an interview about a love affair with a female stripper?
And her desires to have another one with Olivia Wilde.
How? Nothing else matters.
Really, I think we should cancel everything on our show today.
Don't think that hasn't already happened. Don't think that decision hasn't already been made.
Don't think that that wasn't a serious conversation right before the show started between Bean and I. You think Ralph would be into it?
Yes, I do. I saw this. I can't talk.
Well, that's just ridiculous. You can always talk.
When the story broke yesterday, it's one of those things that you look at and you go, well, I can't wrap my head around that. I can't comprehend and understand that and put it in words that make sense, because you just need to sit on your couch and just absorb it. You just need to let it wash over you.
Mm-hmm. And then I know what else you need to do.
Well, several times, yes.
I'm sure.
Here's the
excerpt.
Nothing
got done yesterday, did it, boys?
No, not at all. Here's the excerpt from GQ magazine, which I guess is on newsstands. When is it on newsstands, Mike? When?
I don't know. It wasn't yesterday. Yeah. Believe me, I checked.
Well, I'm going today at 10:01 a.m. Megan Fox has nothing to hide, the article begins. The candid 22-year-old Transformers star, who is currently engaged to actor Brian Austin Green, opened up to GQ about her love life, telling the magazine she was once in love with a female stripper.
The salute to tuna.
Fox, who appears on the October cover in a black bikini, said she was in the relationship when she was 18 and first living in Los Angeles alone.
Wow.
Now, I had to stop at that point in this article and go walk around the block at the thought of Megan Fox being 18, for starters. Can you imagine how many people knew Megan Fox who had a countdown going from the time she was about 15?
Oh, yeah. There's holidays in Nashville that we don't even understand or know about because, you know, they were watching her being raised from a little girl all the way up to that precious day when she turned 18.
Yep. I mean, when she was like 17 and a half, there had to just be a line outside her door just waiting just to make sure that they were like lining up for the new Xbox at Best Buy, just to make sure that they were first at the door the minute she turned 18.
And imagine how jilted they felt when she was 18 in a day and she moved to L.A. Like, oh, wait a second. Where are you going? Right.
Well, she looked out the door and saw what was waiting for her.
Well, that year, my boyfriend broke up with me and I decided, and here she apologizes to her mom, who might be reading the article, by the way. Oh, man, sorry, mommy. That I was in love with this girl that worked at the body shop. I decided that I was going to get her to love me back, and I went out of my way to create a relationship with this girl. A stripper named Nikita.
Hey!
Fox said Nikita would do these, quote, beautiful slow dances to Aerosmith ballads, end quote. The actress also said she would bring the Russian stripper gifts and try to inspire her to quit her line of work. By the way, that's the only complaint I have about this article. Like, what's that about? Fox's publicist confirmed the contents of the GQ report on Monday. Despite the brief relationship with a woman, Fox said she does not identify herself as gay. Look, I'm not a lesbian, said Fox. I just think that all humans are born with the ability to be attracted to both sexes. I mean, I could see myself in a relationship with a girl. Olivia Wilde is so sexy that she makes me want to strangle a mountain ox with my bare hands. Olivia Wilde, by the way, is the very fine actress who's on House coming back tonight.
On House, she does play a lesbian, doesn't she?
I think she's
kind
bi.
Of in the closet. Oh, yeah, you're right. She's bi.
I think she's
That's
bi
right.
on House. Yeah,
that's right.
She's mesmerizing, and lately I've been obsessed with Jenna Jameson, but oh boy. So that's an excerpt from the Megan Fox GQ. And by the way, the cover, when you see the cover of the GQ, it'll... We need to do Let's Talk About Megan Fox again today. I'm sorry, we just do.
Yeah.
What are we supposed to do with this? How are we supposed to go on? How are we supposed to get things done today?
I don't know, you guys. It should just be a holiday. Let's just play a best of and go home.
It is Mexican Seriously. Independence Day, which I don't know why I'm here. Okay, it's unfair.
That's right.
You guys get your honky holidays off. I still got to show up.
You get our honky holidays off.
Good point. No, I don't, by the way.
Yeah, you're right. You do have to work through
all
this. But
for
that's
starters,
not because you're Mexican. It's because you're on
are you
the
sure?
low on
Are
the
you sure?
Bowl.
Because usually when it's 4th of July or Christmas time and you guys are off work, you know,
playing.
Having your little vacation playing around, it's Jesus and I. It's always us two.
That's right.
So, I mean, you do the math.
It wouldn't do any good to call the body shop when they open and ask them if they remember a stripper named Nikita, because I'm sure that was, A, it was years ago, and B, who remembers the fake names the strippers come up
right.
with, right?
And also, right. I think we need to go over there, actually, because, you know, with body language and stuff, you don't know if they're lying over the phone. They could be saying, yeah, sure, Nikita's not here. She doesn't work here anymore. I need to look at them in the eyes. I need to know if Nikita's over there for my, you know, I need to go check it out myself. That's what I'm saying.
Is this the K-Rock microphones were there, Mike? Is that what you're suggesting? Is
yes.
That you may need to visit the body shop?
During the 6 o'clock hour of this show.
Well, they may not be open yet. But it was 4 years ago, and she said her name was Nikita, but there's no indication in what we've read from the piece so far how long she was there. So
mm-hmm.
I think you need to poke around.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Oh, wow. She's 18 in love with a stripper.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
Are we still? We're still in the oven.
Don't talk.
We're just thinking.
You
that's
guys,
all.
Come on. You can't do
Well,
this.
I can't go on.
Some
I mean,
people are counting on us to get them up in the morning and not
just,
not the way that
you
you're
just
thinking.
Shut the hell up? But what else matters, though?
Their alarm's going to go off, and they're just going to fall back asleep because you're not saying anything.
Boner alarm has already gone off. Boner alarm went off a long
time. That's true. All right, not that it matters, but if
we have
we're
guests
gonna...
coming in today that we really can't cancel. I mean, because they've already planned this. Like, we can not talk to J.J. Abrams on the phone, I guess. But Michael Chiklis is actually coming in.
Yeah, big deal. I'm not going to be watching...
I
Fringe. I'm not going to be watching The Shield because I'm going to be outside the newsstand waiting for the GQ to arrive.
Well,
so,
while you're doing that, I will be watching those shows.
And by the way,
because I know I can count on you to take care of that.
Mr. Chiklis agreed to come into the show before he heard the news about
That's
Megan
true.
Fox having a lesbian affair. So
That's
he
true.
Might not want to come in anymore.
Well, that is a good point. I had not thought
yeah,
of.
He could be done. That's true. Gustavo Arellano, whatever. With the,
yes,
the
he's coming in today.
Day.
He has
Ask
a book
him.
About growing up in Orange County. We can
but Megan Fox
questions.
Didn't grow up in Orange County, so why do we care?
No.
We'll be taking calls on Ask a Mexican about Megan Fox. We got that on the show today. Spencer, I guess, will stop by talking about
Look,
last night's
host. If you want to counsel him, that's fine with me.
He might have something to say about Megan Fox, though, so we might actually want to talk to him.
I guarantee he will.
Hangover cures in the 6 o'clock hour this morning. K-Rock listener has tried everything he's heard about, and it didn't do any good. He partied a little too hard on Saturday night, was not able to bounce back on Sunday like he expected. Our listeners have cures, and we've heard from people stuff that they do that actually works. Am I right about that?
Yeah, we absolutely have.
They
Although
are
some
experts.
Of it you're supposed to do before you go out on the bender
yes.
or midway through, so maybe he didn't do that.
May not be helpful,
yeah.
right? But it'll be good for next time. Also, a big gay wedding happened over the weekend. Star Trek's Mr. Sulu, George Takei, walked down the aisle finally. I guess they've been together for, I don't know, decades or something
yeah.
like that. And they finally are legal, so we got an update on that. I bet it was fabulous. That's the only thing I can possibly suggest. And they, George Takei and his husband on their honeymoon, may be the only people on Earth who don't care about the Megan Fox story in GQ. They may be the only ones.
You're probably right.
But all of that, if we can divert our attention from this article, is straight ahead, along with Ralph and the Showbiz Beat next, right after this on the World. It's the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Great news if you're a Killers fan like I am. New record coming very soon by Christmas, and a new song from the Killers, I read on KROQ.com yesterday, dropping any day now. So that's super
very
good
cool.
news.
Very cool. Yeah.
Who's ready for some football?
It's interesting. Last night, I was thinking at the end of the Monday Night Football game, which I stayed up to watch because it was one of those unbelievable games, Lisa, that the lead changed, what was it, 7 times yesterday during the game, I think?
Mike? Yeah, it was a score fest.
Yeah, like 78 points scored between the Cowboys and the Eagles last night in
My
Monday
God.
Night Football.
Yeah,
it was the most points scored between a Cowboy and Eagle game in a long time. I mean, that's a lot of games going back.
Well, Who's here and who's not?
Seriously?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Mike was here at 4:30 smiling. Yeah. Ralph still not here. So I think that tells you who won and who didn't win.
Oh, my God.
There's always a little extra angst whenever the Eagles are playing. I mean, I care about who wins a lot of games, but that one in particular affects us personally.
Yes, because, you're right. I should care more.
you should really start paying attention. But
there's a lot of good to be taken away, though, from if you're an Eagles fan.
Oh, Donovan McNabb looked fantastic last night for most of that game.
Most
yeah.
people just assumed that the Cowboys were the elite team in the NFC and you know, might even be one of the elite teams in all of the NFL. But the Eagles really proved last night that they can hang. They can hang with anybody and that they're going to be a factor for the rest of the season no matter what.
Considering he got sacked 4 times, Donovan McNabb looked great. I mean, he really did. And you know, for anyone who was worried about the injuries from last year, he certainly seems to be back. But anyway, it was one of those exciting games that if it had lasted 5 more minutes, the Eagles probably would have won. You know, it was one of those kind of deals. It just you had to be up when the clock ran out. That's
right.
All it boiled out to. But
both teams are going to be spending a lot of times watching tape on the defensive side of the ball. I'll tell you that
because
there was not a lot of defense being played.
No. Anyway, Ralph will be joining us next hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. In the meantime, time for the Showbiz Beat for a Tuesday morning on K-Rock. I haven't heard about this, Mike, but is there something going on with Megan Fox? Is there something, I mean, is there some new
there
story
is.
On her?
It's funny you should say that. This story, you know, it's crazy, but I guess Megan Fox, when she moved here to L.A. as a young girl, confused, really not knowing what she was going to do with her career, you know, acting-wise, she moved here from a suburb outside of Nashville, and she was just 18 years old, Lisa.
Yeah. Wow.
And
what happened?
According to her, she fell in love with a stripper. And well, let me read from this GQ article, which is in the new upcoming October GQ.
Oh, is that where it is? Okay.
Yes, this quote comes directly from there.
Lisa, have you heard about this at all?
I might have heard something.
Okay.
But certainly not the details.
I decided, oh man, sorry, Mommy, that I was in love with this girl that worked at the body shop. I decided that I was going to get her to love me back. And I went out of my way to create a relationship with this girl, a stripper named Nikita.
Is there more?
It would be, by the way, an interesting call-in topic. I don't know that we've ever done this, and it's hard to get strippers on the phone this early in the morning, but it'd be an interesting topic to talk to them about the things that clients do to try to get a relationship going with them, the gifts that they bring, the efforts that they make to date them, because, you know, there are a lot of girls, some do, but there are a lot of girls who just, that's their policy, they're not going to date clients. But that doesn't stop guys and apparently girls, according to this article, from still falling for them and wanting to make that happen.
Sure. No, I think that'd be fascinating.
I mean, here you got Megan Fox bringing gifts in to Nikita, you know, try to talk her out of stripping.
Yeah.
Just because she wants to date her, which is fascinating.
Yeah, I was thinking about this. You know, Megan Fox is coming into a whole new world. She's just 18 years old, coming from, like I said, a suburb around Nashville area. And she's here in L.A. and she's, you know, in Hollywood, falling in love with strippers. Imagine if you're Nikita. and you've come here from Chechnya or wherever it is, and you've probably watched your parents murdered, and you know you've been whored out by like the Croatian mafia, who knows what?
Wow!
And you come here,
she
and
had
now
a
Megan,
hard life.
Megan Fox is giving you gifts and wanting to make love to you.
Yeah, America looks like a pretty sweet place.
You're
at
like,
that point,
wow.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, red,
anything
white, and blue
can
for me
here. Yeah.
No
look,
kidding.
I'm not a lesbian, Fox says. I just think that all humans are born with the ability to be attracted to both sexes. I mean, I could see myself in a relationship with a girl. Olivia Wilde is so sexy. She makes me want to strangle a mountain ox with my bare hands. She's mesmerizing. And lately...
I need boobs! There they are!
Is there such a thing as a mountain ox?
If Megan Fox says so, yeah.
All right, maybe they're in Tennessee.
I'm not going to argue with her, that's for sure. Oh, that's a great story. I'd like to hear it again. But we're going to move on and look at a couple of other things. The Saturday Night Live ratings this week was the highest debut show ratings in something like 7 years. And I don't think it was for Michael Phelps. I know that he's got fans, but you only had to see that dude being interviewed at the Olympics to realize what a zero he is.
Yeah,
he's not personality challenged.
Not a good speaker.
I don't know if you guys saw any of the SNL, but he was awful.
Yeah. A lot of torso, not a lot of personality.
Yeah, not much going on upstairs. It's all downstairs. You got to, sure, give him some of the credit. Obviously, he's an American hero and people are attracted to him. Some of it is that the show had been off. It's, you know, season premiere. A lot of people were interested in seeing what they had to do. But I believe that most people tuned in because they knew Tina Fey was going to be making a return as Sarah Palin. Sarah Palin is the hottest thing going in news right now. Tina Fey is an identical twin of Sarah Palin. I mean, when you first saw Sarah Palin get the nomination from John McCain, you thought, my God, that woman looks exactly like Tina Fey.
Yeah.
And Tina Fey portrayed her in the opening sketch with Amy Poehler's Hillary Clinton. Here's a taste of it, and you're not going to believe how unbelievable she got the voice down, too. I mean, it really does sound just like her.
Hillary Clinton, who came so close to the White House, and me, Sarah Palin, who is even closer. Can you believe it, Hillary?
In case you're wondering, they caught up with Sarah Palin on the campaign trail yesterday and asked her what she thought about Tina Fey's impression on SNL, and she not only loved it, she revealed to CBS News that she dressed up and was Tina Fey for Halloween 1 year.
Yeah.
Because they look so much alike. SNL has just got to be kicking themselves that they let Tina get away, though. I mean, boy, would they be using her right now.
Oh,
I don't know
no
that she's going to have time to do any more than she did this weekend because she's got
what's
her
in the
show.
The Tina Fey costume?
That's what I was just wear thinking about. Changes her glasses? I mean, that's really it.
I think she would wear whatever she was going to wear. Same hair, same glasses, same suit, and just put a big scar on her face. I mean, that's pretty much... What else do you need? I mean, that's how you turn her into Tina Fey, I guess.
She did an amazing job, though.
It
was
great.
YouTube if you want to see it. It's hilarious.
Yeah, and we actually have it on the internet roundup.
Oh, we do.
You actually
okay
just go right to krock.com and check it out because it really is, it's amazing. You got to see it. Just one more quick story, and then we'll wrap it up and let Ralph handle the heavy lifting next hour. This is maybe not as big a deal as it might have been a couple years ago because maybe you didn't realize that TRL, Total Request Live on MTV, is still on.
Yeah.
Because you don't hear about it as much as you used to back when Carson was hosting it, but it's shutting down after 10 years.
No kidding.
They're going to have a two-hour special edition on a Saturday in November. It debuted back in September of 1998. It was MTV's highest-rated show. Remember back in the time when everybody used to go on TRL? I mean, you couldn't do publicity without hitting TRL.
Mm-hmm.
Most days now, it's not even on anymore. I mean, it's only on a few times a week now. But, 10 years on, and TRL is going to finally be wrapping up. I don't know. Maybe it's time.
You
think?
It's definitely time. They don't even show videos anymore. You don't see a complete video. It's just a bunch of people yelling. And then, the host will kick it to a video. This is the Pussycat Dolls when I grew up. And then they go out to the street, and it's a girl. And she goes, I'm Sarah from Ohio, and I just want to say hello to everybody. And then they go to the next video. But in the background, you know, it's far, far off, you see the Pussycat Dolls video. And that's it. And that's
exactly
the end of it.
That's
the collection
awful
of that.
It is Tuesday. That means new releases in the stores today, including the latest from Nelly called Brass Knuckles. It's been a while since we've heard from him. There's a new EP coming out today by The Cure, which is songs, most of which are on their upcoming album due next month, but they're all remixed. There's a remix from Gerard Way, for instance, from My Chemical Romance, a remix of one song by Pete Wentz from Fallout Boy, 30 Seconds to Mars do a remix. So it's kind of interesting. The Cure, they generally do really, I mean, their remixes are always worth seeking out because people do very cool stuff with their songs. But that's in stores today. On DVD today, Lisa, it sounds like this is made for you. Listen to this.
Yes.
The complete first season of Chuck on DVD today.
Great show.
Complete first season of Pushing Daisies.
Mm-hmm.
Season one of Dirty Sexy Money.
Love that show.
And the complete first season of Private Practice. All those TV shows out on DVD today. If you're interested in the movies, Mike Myers' smash sensational hit The Love Guru finally makes it to DVD. God, if I wanted to own... Oh, wait. Mm-hmm. I didn't see it and didn't care about it. Love Guru is out. Some of the other dogs of summer that hit the stores today include Speed Racer on DVD, the widescreen edition. Also, the 88 Minutes Al Pacino movie that was in theaters for about 88 minutes. I think it had one showing before they pulled it. And Patrick Dempsey from Grey's Anatomy's Maid of Honor, also on DVD today. Today's celebrity birthday is one of the good guys in Hollywood. Actor Ed Begley Jr. is 59 years old today. David Copperfield, the magician, is 52. Actor Mickey Rourke, also 52. Actress Jennifer Tilly is 50. Molly Shannon, speaking of SNL, is 44. Amy Poehler, speaking of SNL, is 37. And one of the Jonas Brothers, his name's Nick. I'm not sure which one he is. I think he's the girl. He's 16, and that's the K-Rock Show. By the way, talking about the irrational fears a moment ago,
mm-hmm.
Missy writes in, I listen online, have to share with you guys my own irrational fear. Check it out. Biz Markie.
Well, that's just ridiculous.
He absolutely terrifies me. I can't see him either in photo or film without making loud noises, turning around, freaking out, or doing all this until he's out of sight. I don't know why, but there's something about him that makes me totally lose it. From his You Got What I Need video to his turn in Men in Black, I lose my mind, I tear up, and I generally get the heebie-jeebies every time I see Biz Markie. Even typing this letter is giving me the creeps. Must stop typing, says Missy. That's
weird.
There can't be many of those, right? There
no.
Can't be.
Seems like a pretty innocuous dude.
It kind of does. All right, it's a quarter to nine on the world famous K-Rock. One of our all-time favorites is back in the news, and I couldn't be more excited about this. Oscar-winning actor Sean Connery, as you know, is a frequent guest on the Kevin and Bean Show. We love this dude. Of course, he was the early movie James Bond. He's gone on to so many other great roles over the years, but he finally has sat down and written his autobiography. He turned 78 years old last month, and on his birthday, he released his autobiography, which is called Being a Scot. Now, we were going to get the book, but we hoped that an audiobook would make itself available, and it has. So now our dreams have come true. We get to hear the life story of the great Sean Connery in his own words. And I think we have some clips to share with you this morning, starting with Sean Connery reminiscing a little bit about his early years from his brand new autobiography.
Being a Scot by Sean Connery. Read by Sean Connery. Chapter 1, The Early Years. I was raised in the Fountain Bridge section in Edinburgh, Scotland, the son of Effie and Joseph Connery. Effie was a cleaning woman for most of her life, and my father, Joseph, was a factory worker and a truck driver. The thing most people remember about Joseph Connery is that he had an enormous c***. That's right, he was hung like a baseball bat. He stripped my mother's c*** out something fierce. In fact, when the wind would blow through our house, you would hear her a whistle because it was out so huge from his enormous Dad had done such a number on her that when I was a child still in her womb, they had to fit me for cleats so I could stay in her. If I didn't have those, I would fall out onto the floor, just dangling from the umbilical cord. For fun, as a fetus, I would yodel inside her massive. Those were the days when my mother picked up her first nickname, Old Cavern.
Oh, no. God.
Well, he certainly isn't holding anything back. It's a lot of these celebrities that kind of whitewash the story, you know what I mean? But he's giving us the facts. All right, we move on now to his professional career in his early 60s breakout role as James Bond in the movies. Again, Sean Connery from his autobiography.
Chapter 7, The James Bond Years. I remember it as if it was yesterday. But it was 1961 when I first got the role of James Bond, secret agent. I did 7 James Bond films, if you include Never Say Never Again. But the one I remember most, and most people do, is Goldfinger. Probably because of the Aston Martin car I drove in that film, which became one of the most famous cars in the world. Most people remember all the gadgets the car had. I remember all the f***ing I did in the back seat of it. I remember one time I was f***ing just extra on the set of Thunderball. Never had there been a more appropriately named movie. I was deep inside her when we decided to shift to the front seat, and accidentally I impaled her on the stick shift. Her pressed up against the secret button, and the ejector seat went off and got wedged inside her. Another one to mission opportunity. I removed the seat from her and promptly replaced it with my huge. I for about 17 hours straight until strings of ropey were leaking from every. I her so much I killed her, literally. So I drove her away in the Aston Martin and buried her lifely corpse in a shallow grave. Ah, memories.
Oh, wow. Jeez. Wow. I don't know how we didn't hear about that one at the time. But there it is, straight from Mr. Connery's mouth. And finally, from late in the book, of course, Sean Connery talking about his role in the great Indiana Jones movie.
Chapter 18, Indiana Jones's dad. I remember when Steven Spielberg asked me to play Indiana Jones's father. Steven Spielberg is an enormously talented filmmaker. And a smart with his money. I remember the first day on the set, I got a chance to meet Harrison Ford. What a boring he is. But the good news was, his was so small that when we used to the same girls, they thought I was even better. I remember once we were tagging some from the makeup department. I, of course, was her. Harrison was her. And I remember her saying distinctly, "No, thank you, I don't smoke." Because his C was so small, she thought it was a cigarette. Get it? He's got a tiny. It's not a big fat like mine. Boy, did I her. I remember it as if it was yesterday. In fact, my right now, just talking about it. Excuse me while I go my and shit a giant pool of.
Okay. All right.
Oh my
wow.
God.
I guess when you're 78, why hold it back, right? That's Sean Connery's biography audiobook available everywhere.
I got an email yesterday from a K-Rock listener who is reaching out to our staff and our listeners for some help. His name is Mike. He lives in West Hollywood. We were not able to contact him to get him on the phone because apparently he is still hungover. Apparently that's the problem with Mike. Hey, Kevin and Bean, the email begins. Have you guys ever done a segment on hangover cures? I figure if anyone would know, it would be you guys or your listeners. Mike goes on. I was knocked out all day Sunday from a normal night of drinking on Saturday. I took a meal of extra strength Tylenol, a 7-Eleven Big Gulp, and an Astro Burger. I guess that's what usually works for Mike. But it only put a dent in my hangover. What gives? I must be doing something wrong other than drinking in the first place. Please help me before I have to actually consider stopping drinking. Which, God forbid, we don't want to see that happen. I don't know anything about hangovers, you guys. I got to be honest with you. I am maybe not the guy.
In a way, but you're a lucky, lucky man. I have to say, never have a hangover.
Your hangovers are related to sugar. Like, oh, mommy, I ate too many ding-dongs.
That's true.
But I don't get a hangover. I don't get a hangover from sugar because I never stop eating sugar.
Well, yeah.
If I went through some sort of a withdrawal, yeah, then maybe I might feel the pain. But so I can't advise Mike, but I do know it is a topic that we have talked about. We are going to take your calls with guaranteed hangover cures for Mike or other people, either something you can do before or after. You can call us at 1-800-520-1067. But I thought we might poll the K-Rock family here, the Kevin and Bean Show, and find out what has been working for you guys. Alex, this is something you've encountered, and you managed to show up for work every single morning.
I'm a master of hangover cures. Well, oh, by the way, Dave in the office says he doesn't get hungover.
What?
Yeah, I was like, Dave, I'm sure you have a lot of, like, you know, tips or advice for people. He's like, no, I don't get hungover. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I'm sure he's
so high on the side of the road. Vegas.
Right.
With his head laying down on the table.
No, I felt great.
He's just playing the cliff.
Speak.
He's just tired these days.
Oh, all right. My bad.
I learned in college that Pedialyte actually works because it helps with, like, electrolytes. It's kind of sketchy. You can throw it in the freezer or the fridge, and it doesn't taste great.
No.
But it definitely helps. And I've always, like, sworn by a Carl's Jr. $6 burger and a Diet Coke.
Del Taco.
Now, is that before you go to sleep?
Oh, God, no. Well, no. I mean, yeah. I mean, you kind of do, like, a drunken fourth meal, but then when you wake up and you're like, what the hell happened? Where am I? Where's my bra? You know, the normal thing. On the way home, hitting that, getting just like a big burger and a Diet Coke and then a ton of Motrin to the point where, like, they say it's not safe on the bottle. That's how
like you're going to kill your liver. Yeah. Or
that's how many you have to take.
Uh-huh.
Now,
okay.
The burger and the soda, I know that's Kevin's MO when he's been drinking hard and really needs
to. It's the sugar and the protein. Your body's just like, oh, God, thank you.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Let's ask Psycho Mike about that. How does that work in terms of what's going on in your body? I mean, like, what's in Pedialyte, for instance, that might help you?
Pedialyte is just, it's a great way to rehydrate yourself. And Alex is exactly right. That's probably the best thing you can do is do anything you can to really
try to repair that cellular damage that you're doing from getting really intoxicated. Because the biggest problem with getting super intoxicated is that you're very, very dehydrated when all that alcohol.
Why? Because, if you drink, does it make you dehydrated?
Because alcohol is a massive diuretic. Alcohol itself, not, you know, the suds of the beer, the actual water, but the alcohol itself in whatever you're drinking just sucks moisture out of your body and causes massive cellular damage from being so overly dehydrated. So if you could preventive measures before you go to sleep and drink Pedialyte or these function drinks that they've been sending over here. Those are awesome.
Urban Detox. Yeah. Ralph swears by the Urban Detox.
And those are a really good idea. Anything like that Gatorade or those function drinks, Urban Detox, because like I said, they just massively rehydrate you. It's just like uber rehydration. So, you know, the sodiums and all the electrolytes you need to kind of get those fluids back in your body.
Is Urban Detox, is that a before or an after drinking that you take it?
They say you should do it before, but when you're drunk, it's kind of hard to remember. But right. If you can do a little bit before, and then when you wake up the next day, I've had it, and it actually makes you feel better. Cleo, though, has a great idea. It's a classic.
I have been told, drink lots of water before you pass out at night, and then take a shot of tequila or whatever you were drinking the night before, and that helps. That kills your
hangover. Why would that help?
I have no idea.
I think it's, you know, the hair of the dog that bit you.
Yeah, I've never understood why that helps.
Okay, but you know where I hear that from? It's a lot of my Latino friends. Like Paco and
just keep drinking. The they just like to stay drunk.
The Mexicans like to say, just take a shot of tequila, it cures everything.
I was gonna say cocaine always worked for me. When I woke up and I had a long night, I just snort some yayo and I felt great.
Now I will tell you that one of the things I noticed the last time we were in Las Vegas, we did that broadcast from there, is that what Ralph does if he drinks too hard the night before is start drinking as soon as he wakes up in the morning.
To kind of
stave off the hangover, and maybe you kind of
I think
sober up, right?
Yeah, I think it takes the edge off a little. It's that last kick of what you need.
Done it with in one Vegas remote like a few remotes ago where Kevin and I were just wrecked, and I saw Ralph drinking some, and I'm like, all right, I'm gonna try it, and I felt better faster than
really
than
right
I normally would. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Now Lisa, you are famous for not being drunk. You walk the line pretty much, right?
Here's the reason that I try not to be drunk anymore is because when we were in New York and I stayed with you guys, I hung with you and I drank everything you all were drinking. And then the next morning when we were doing our broadcast, I managed to get one traffic report out before I started throwing up in the trash can right outside
That's
the studio.
Right.
That's awesome.
Lisa got ill. Forgot about that. You turned yellow and you looked at me and you grabbed my arm and you're like, I need a cab back to the hotel.
And I was in bed the rest of the day, except for Monty Python. I did get up and go see that.
I think you were still drunk is what happened. I don't think
it was
out of your
so
system.
It was so awful. And since then, I really haven't gotten drunk.
So we missed you?
Yeah. I can't hang with you guys. I just... Maybe I have never built up to where you guys are,
well,
but I just can't do it.
You're clearly not working hard enough.
I know.
That must be it.
I'm
a
loser.
Mike goes to the gym every day. You have to come to the bars with me every weekend.
Day.
Yeah. It is a commitment, Lisa.
Ralph and Alex set the bar high, though.
Oh, my God.
That's true.
I would die if I stayed with you guys.
K-Rock Lister Mike for West Hollywood is looking for our help. We're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. Let's take one call before the break, and then everybody else, please hang on because we are going to get to you. Let's start with Lindsay. She's in Hollywood and she's a paramedic, so I feel like she's a medical professional. Hey, Lindsay, what's going on? Thanks for calling.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Lindsay.
What's up?
Morning.
Yeah, what we always do before we go out drinking, we'll start IVs on each other and then just walk around with our little IV bags. And
oh, yeah.
Well, how can we do that,
let me
Lindsay?
Just go grab my IV and my needle.
You're not very helpful.
Am I like Dick Cheney in the White House? I can just go grab my IV and then go out and party and go hunting? What?
So, Lindsay, your advice for the K-Rock listeners is go to medical school, become paramedics, and then get an IV before you start drinking.
You can just go get a phlebotomy class and you'll be good.
Okay, right. that has been very, very helpful. I'm sure that our listeners will take you up on that advice. That's a great idea.
I'll just date a paramedic.
Ooh, good idea.
Ooh, there you go. That's a good idea. All right, Jose, Millie, Bobby, everybody else, please hold on. We'll get your calls for hangover cures. What do you got for us? 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls right after this on K-Rock.
Tell me you're going to stop.
I'm going to stop.
Promise?
No.
Yes?
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's when you're still drunk. But what happens 6 hours after that moment where you're laying on the floor eating a Carl's Jr. burger with your shirt off? What happens after that? How do you get rid of the hangover? How do you survive to get up and go to work the next day? You're a judge on America's Got Talent. What do you do? That's the topic on the table. K-Rock listener Mike from West Hollywood wrote in. He needs hangover cures, and he needs them this past weekend. 1-800-520-1067. We got some great calls here, and I can't imagine that all of these work, but let's try it. How about Jose in Whittier? He's on line two this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jose, what do you take when you're trying to avoid that hangover?
The ultimate solution, man. PMF, premenstrual formula.
Formula? You like pills?
That's all you need.
Like pills? What do you mean, dude?
Yeah, pills from the C's medical cabinet, baby. There's 42 employees here and all guys, and we got two boxes every 3 months.
So you're taking Pamperin?
That's right.
Well, all it is is all it is, I have, dude. All it is pain medication and caffeine. It's probably the caffeine that helps you.
It works for all of us here. There's about 42 guys here, and I guarantee there's about 35 of us that are working drunks every day. So,
well, you know, you are going to grow breast. I don't know if you knew that, but that is a side effect eventually.
You will be forced to watch Grey's Anatomy. Sorry.
Well, if you drink enough, you're going to grow breast anyway. So,
true.
All right. Thank you for the call. Wow. I certainly didn't see that one coming. All right. Let's try Millie in Whittier. She's on line four. This one sounds too simple to be effective, but maybe she's got something. Millie, hi. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Morning.
Alka-Seltzer makes this stuff called Wake Up, specifically for hangovers.
Really?
Interesting.
Mike
have not heard about
is
that.
Mike is nodding. He knows about this.
I've just seen, magazine ads and commercials on TV. It's designed to for long nights out when you wake up in the morning.
Who knew Alka-Seltzer was so rad?
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, that's a great tip. Thank you very much. We definitely have to check that out. Let's try Jose La Habra. He's on line six. Hey, Jose. Happy Mexican Independence Day to you. What do you got for us, dude?
Check this out. The best thing any Mexican will tell you, menudo.
Oh.
Really? Isn't menudo awful, though?
No, it's the best.
Nah, it's
really?
Good,
yeah.
It would be like eating chicken soup, right?
Except with the stomach lining of a cow instead of chicken.
It's basically Mexican haggis, right? Yeah.
It kind of is. I mean, you can get menudo at any restaurant and tell them not to put the tripe in. So it's just the big
broth.
Hominy and the broth. Yeah. And, where there's smoke, there's fire. Because you go to a Mexican restaurant on Sunday morning and everybody's having menudo and a Budweiser. So there's got to be some type of
But Jose also has Clamato up here.
Yeah, Clamato, yep.
And then you just throw up and you feel better. That is so disgusting.
Yeah,
that's good stuff, man. Good stuff. All right.
But those of us that weren't born south of the border, we may not be able to tolerate that. I don't know. I think that's an acquired taste.
In the South, they drink red beer, which is just tomato juice and beer when they wake up. So it's kind of the same thing. There's got to be something to tomato juice, too, because it seems like a lot of cultures adopt that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's try Kayvon, just because I can't believe his name's Kayvon.
What?
He's in Westwood. Hi, Kayvon. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Hey, Lisa, man.
Good morning. You sound hungover right now.
So my brother passed this on to me, actually. He taught me, basically, whenever you're drunk, like hammered out of your mind, right before you sleep, have the biggest meal of your life, and you wake up fine.
Well, okay.
And it's always worked for him and me. Like I told whoever screened me on the phone, we were in Spain a month ago, and we went out on a 3-day bender because it was my birthday, and one of the nights we had, I think, like either like 20 or 40 chicken McNugget pieces, 3 supersized fries, woke up in the morning, went straight to the beach.
Dude, you went all the way to Spain and ate at McDonald's?
Look, when you're drunk,
that's
where you go with meal.
It was 6:30 in the morning and the sun was rising.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Sounded like there was going to be more to that sentence. All right, Kayvon, thank you very much for the call. I guess that only makes sense. Everybody knows that you pace your alcohol consumption by eating as you go, and that soaks it up a little bit, right?
I mean, that's stuffing yourself right before you go to bed can backfire because you can throw up or you can like not sleep through the night because you've got a stomach ache because you've force-fed yourself like you're in an eating competition with Kobayashi. Like, that's not good.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good.
Let's try line eight, please. We've got Fred from Huntington Beach. Hi, Fred. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's your hangover cure?
Milk thistle.
Oh, I've done that.
I just got an email from someone recommending it as well.
I do it
I do before and after.
You I can, do it after.
They have pills, and they also have the liquid form. So you can do either or, but I've done it before, and you do it after, and it works great. And also, too, vodka water. Just drink that, and you won't get a hangover anyways because you're water away.
Oh, you mean when you're drinking, you just drink vodka with water?
Yeah.
Or drink vodka and then a glass of water?
No. With water.
Okay.
And with a squeeze of lemon or something, so it gets a little bit of a taste, but I've never had a hangover ever since I've been drinking that.
Kevin switched to vodka a while back because he said that's...
It's kind of like our Coachella method where you take like an Urban Detox or Gatorade and you put vodka in it, so you're just replenishing and depleting at the same time. So you're just constantly
our
even.
Our poor bodies.
Yeah.
It's so confused.
Thanks for the call. I the only thing I know about milk thistle, and this kind of makes sense with what he's talking about, is that I have to give a pill every day to my little dog Chin Ho because it's good for her liver for some reason. I don't know what's going on in her liver.
It's a detoxifying agent. It's supposed to push everything out of your system.
Okay. Interesting. All right, let's do one more. It's another over-the-counter medicine that we've talked about before. Evan is in Downey. He's on line one. We've heard about this one. Evan, what is it you've been trying?
Hey, you know what we did when I was in the Navy, and we were all going to go out and get bombed. We would take this pill called Chasers, and you could get it at, or we used to be able to get it at 7-Eleven and a couple shops around base. And I don't know, it's like an all natural herbal supplement, but we could put down a lot of alcohol, and we never woke up hungover.
Now, I go to 7-Eleven almost every day, as you guys know. This is Bean speaking. And there is there's a plethora of pills available on the counter that are for hangovers. And I assume that's why they're there, is because they must sell. Somebody must be buying them.
But they do help. What's in it? Do you know?
No, it does not taste good. I don't know what's in it. But like if you take the pill and then probably for an hour, every time you burp, it tastes really bad. But it cures a hangover.
Sounds great.
Or it prevents it. So we took them all the time.
That's what we're looking for. All right. Well, I think we've come up with some pretty good ideas. And Mike, you need to try them all and then email us back. And what am I talking about? He's not even awake. Slightly Stupid, the name of the band, on K-Rock, 106.7 KRQ, 651. Actor Michael Chiklis from The Shield joins us in the 7 o'clock hour. And, of course, again this morning at 7 o'clock, you can win your Xbox 360 Rock Band 2 Special Edition and tickets to see Beck sold out this Saturday night at the Bowl. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, Pete Baxter.
How you living?
Living large. Large and in charge.
good to see you. What's going on?
Let's take a look at the showbiz news, shall we? Before I do, however, I've got a giveaway. Something that's very cool. If you're like me, you're counting down the days. It is 1 week from tonight. Heroes returns to our television sets.
Yeah.
And I couldn't be more excited. If you'd like, how about season 1 and 2 of Heroes on Blu-ray disc, which is in stores now, but you can win a set right now from me if you can answer the following Heroes trivia question. I'm going to try to weed out the real fans from the wannabes. Last season, who shot and killed Noah Bennett? Horn rim glasses. Who shot and killed him? Who did it? 1-800-520-1067 is the number. Call. If you're the caller with the correct answer, who gets through first, you will win seasons 1 and 2 of Heroes on Blu-ray disc, which is in stores now, but you will win it from here free because we love you. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Sounds good.
All right. It's the all-lesbian edition of the Showbiz Beat this morning.
Yeah. I can't wait.
Everybody's talking about the fact that Megan Fox, in a new GQ magazine article, admitted to the fact that she was once in love with a stripper.
I'm sorry, she was what, Ralph?
She was once in love with a stripper.
Thank you, Mike.
That was the year my boyfriend broke up with me, Megan says, and I decided... Oh, man. Sorry, Mommy, she says to the interviewer. I was in love with a girl who worked at the Body Shop. For those of you who aren't familiar with the Body Shop on Sunset, I recommend it highly.
Fine establishment.
It's one of the few totally nude strip clubs here in Los Angeles. Can't get a cocktail, but you can get a Woody.
Sure.
I decided I was going to get her to love me back, and I went out of my way to create a relationship with this girl, a stripper named Nikita. Apparently, Nikita, in Megan's words, would do these beautiful slow dances to Aerosmith ballads. Yeah! That's what I'm talking about when it comes to stripping.
By the way, I want to apologize to the K-Rock listeners that it has been almost an hour since we mentioned this Megan Fox excerpt from the GQ magazine. We apologize for that. We will try not to go so long before we talk about it again next time.
Yeah. Can't beat strippers dancing to Aerosmith. You're my baby! She says that Olivia Wilde
yes
makes her want to strangle a mountain ox with her bare hands. And lately she's been obsessed with Jenna Jameson. But look, I'm not a lesbian, she says.
No.
Well, maybe you should consider it.
She everyone just appreciates beauty.
Everyone needs a career change now and then. It might be time for you to get rid of Brian Austin Green.
Yeah, no wonder she's looking around.
And spend more time with Olivia Wilde and Jenna Jameson.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's so funny. She tells the story in GQ by starting off by saying, you know, I was 18. I was like, oh, isn't that cute? All those years ago. Oh, wait a minute. She's only 22 now.
All right.
That means this happened about 4 years ago.
I don't know if you heard, Ralph, but Psycho Mike is taking the K-Rock microphone down to the body shop to see if, A, if it's possible that Nikita still works there, but, B, what the story is with her.
I'm not sure strippers have a lengthy tour of engagement in any one club.
Four years from now,
I'm wondering if Nikita is still rocking
the pole
at the body shop.
I'm wondering if she's still alive.
Oh, come on. Vlad finally got fit up and not getting his cut. And
could be.
It's funny, she says that Olivia Wilde makes her want to strangle a mountain ox. She makes me want to strangle a chicken.
Oh, see what you did there?
Yeah! Because that was a euphemism,
by,
I think.
By chicken, you're referring to your penis.
I think I was.
Yeah. Lindsay Lohan and Samantha Ronson are into very public displays of affection. The New York Post says that recently the girls had a serious makeout session at a nightclub for at least a half an hour.
Lindsay Lohan!
And onlookers could not avert their eyes from the two swap and spit. See, where's Olivia Wilde and Megan Fox when you need them?
Yeah, no kidding.
See Lindsay Lohan just crawling over some scrawny, pale dude.
Yeah.
Samantha Ronson.
Yeah, we're assuming she's a girl because that's what we've been told, but we don't know, man. You can't tell by looking at her.
No, you can't, and I don't want to look at her. I don't want to look that close to figure it out.
Yeah.
Katy Perry, of course, had a big-time hit with her smash single, I Kissed a Girl, but apparently those days are over.
Oh.
Her longtime boyfriend, Travis McCoy of Gym Class Heroes, says that he doesn't want his girl kissing anyone but him.
I kissed a girl.
Selfish bastard.
No kidding.
No kidding.
He tells the Post Chronicle if he was forced to pick a girl, though, for his girlfriend Katie to kiss, his choice would be Elizabeth Shue.
What?
It's an interesting choice.
Oops.
Apparently, Travis has had a crush on Elizabeth since the movie Adventures in Babysitting.
Okay.
And I can relate because she's adorable in that. But,
yeah, she is.
That came out about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Although she still looks great. She looked good in Hamilton.
She does.
I was very impressed.
That Katy Perry, by the way, couldn't have looked any better at the MTV Video Music Awards.
Yeah, she looked terrific. She's a very attractive young lady.
Mm-hmm.
Scarlett Johansson, of course, had some lesbian action in Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
Yes, she did.
However, sad news. People who worked on that movie said that Scarlett's fame may be going to her head. Apparently, she was a bit of a prima donna on the set of Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
What way?
She's got to feel a little bit like Woody's chosen one, though, after, what, three movies now with him or something? She's got to feel like she owns the joint, you know?
Yeah, well, apparently that's how she's acting. She was rude to the crew and some of the cast. Apparently she was very full of herself. People who worked on Match Point, another Woody Allen film that she starred in, are disappointed, saying she's not the same sweet girl they worked with on that film. She's very different.
Because she got big-ass boobies.
Sure does. Scarlett Johansson.
Yes.
Megan Fox.
Yes.
Katy Perry.
Yes.
We're on a good run here.
Yeah.
It's all over.
Oh,
come on. This was the best showbiz report ever.
Congratulations to American Idol contestant Jennifer Hudson.
Oh.
Apparently she's engaged to another reality show contestant named David Otunga.
Who's that?
David Otunga.
That's so.
Was on the VH1 reality show I Love New York 2. He apparently was trying to win the heart of New York on that series.
Oh, my God.
His code name on the show was Punk.
So Jennifer Hudson
is marrying Punk.
Fatty.
That seems bad.
Yeah. Oscar winner and a guy from I Love New York 2.
Wow.
Yeah. What's up with that?
People magazine says the couple got engaged on her 27th birthday Saturday when he popped the question with a diamond ring from Neil Lane. Apparently it was a big ring. And I don't mean big like a large stone. It had to be just huge around.
Size 34.
Average woman would wear it as a belt. It's not a small ring. She's got some sausages at the end of her hands there is all I'm saying. I mentioned
she's very talented, though. Mm. Don't you think, Jennifer Hudson? Mm. Very talented.
Well, she's a good singer. Mm. I'm not sure she's a great actress.
I don't either. I think she lucked into that role, and it was a very impressive role and a good,
she
in
was
a good
fine
movie. And
on Sex in the City, too, in the movie, but she wasn't anything to write home about.
She's got an Oscar, Lisa.
I know.
Insane.
I know.
I mentioned that Amy Winehouse missed her own birthday party last week.
Because she was too drunk?
That was the story. However, a contrary story is now coming to light in the British tabloids. They're saying that the reason Amy blew off her very own birthday party, got into a fight with her best friend by not showing up, left her mom Janice in tears, who was waiting at the party for her, the reason she refused to make an appearance is because she felt very unattractive last Saturday night. She refused to get into the cab to attend the bash in her honor three different times because she didn't think she looked good. She had a, in what one of her friends is calling, a serious case of the uglies.
Well,
how
at
does
least
she
she's
ever leave her house any day, then, if that's the case? How could she ever go anywhere if she felt she was too unattractive to show up someplace?
I'm really surprised by the story because it does show some self-awareness, which I didn't think she had.
Yeah, that's why it must be a lie.
Yeah, she was just passed out in a corner somewhere.
That's got to be the truth, right?
Stupid-ass bitch.
And Joel Madden has announced that he wants to commemorate the birth of his daughter Harlow in a very special way. Star Magazine reports that he wants to tattoo outlines of her feet on the soles of his feet.
He's a fag.
Because he's so madly in love with her. Of course, anyone's had a tattoo knows that the sole of the feet is probably the most painful place you can get a tattoo.
Yeah.
But he says he's willing to go through the pain for his daughter. You don't have to.
Yeah, I know.
First of all, you don't have to. And second of all, I'm all for it because anything that causes Joel Madden serious pain has to be a good thing.
Why not just spend that time being a good dad? Why don't you show your affection for your daughter that way?
Why be a good dad when you can get the outline of baby feet on your own feet?
What a dork!
Let's talk to Frank and Whittier, shall we? Regarding my trivia question for the Heroes box sets. Frank?
Yeah.
How you doing, brother?
All right.
Last season, who shot and killed Noah Bennett?
Mohinder Suresh.
Dr. Suresh, that's right. Mohinder? Congratulations, you are the proud owner of seasons 1 and 2 of Heroes on Blu-ray discs.
Alright, thanks.
Hold on, we'll give you all the details. And of course, Heroes returns next week on Tuesday night. I can't wait.
Mohinder!
Show's coming back, just insane.
Heroes is not Monday nights now, Ralph? It's Mondays, right? Because Tuesdays is House and Fringe.
Yeah. That's on Fox, and then
DNN,
on NBC.
Right, but I'm just
DNN
thinking of shows I watch.
Monday night.
Is it Monday night?
That's what
I thought it was Monday.
There you go. It's Monday night. Forget what I said. It's Monday night on NBC, of course.
Mohinder!
And you got Fringe now going on strong, and you got The Shield coming back. We got Michael Chiklis in the next hour. Jeez. It's a good time to be a television watcher.
Mohinder!
Let's take a look at celebrity birthdays, shall we?
Do it.
Do it. Ed Begley Jr., he celebrates his 59th birthday today. Nick Jonas of the Jonas Brothers is 16. Alexis Bledel from Gilmore Girls turns 27. Amy Poehler from Saturday Night Live is 37. Molly Shannon, also from Saturday Night Live in that new series, which looks horrible.
It's like Kate and Kath or something like that.
Oh, sweet Jesus in heaven. Yeah. I just, don't show me the series. Just hit me with a television set when it's on. Same experience. She's 44 years old today. And Mickey Rourke.
Yeah.
Best plastic surgery in show business, in my opinion. He's a good-looking man. He's 52 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk...
Hey, guess what? You're waking up this morning with a state budget. Well, they passed one, but late yesterday, Governor Schwarzenegger said he wouldn't sign it unless it had a rainy day savings account included. They went back and may have done something to change that. As for your savings account, there's FDIC insurance. As for your brokerage account, that's supposed to be separate from any brokerage firm that goes belly up. The usual sit-tight advice being given in the midst of a financial crisis. As trading opened this morning, the Dow dropped another 150. The family of Ida Magdaleno has filed the first of a long line of death and injury claims against Metrolink because of Friday's crash. The law forbids punitive damages. A good thing, that would have bankrupted the transit line. And oh yes, the NTSB checked the signals.
We found when we did the mechanical test that they were working.
If you want to hear Barbara Streisand sing tonight in Beverly Hills, you should have already donated to the Obama campaign. He will whip through town for that. Hear Catch? may have been the last words heard by an 11-year-old at a Compton middle school. Playing ball after school, he was accidentally hit in the chest and it killed him. Dallas and Dodgers win. 70s through 100 today. 66 at K-Rock. I'm Doc on the Rock.
By the way, speaking of Beck, he's going to be here tomorrow. You know Beck's coming in tomorrow, Lisa?
I didn't know that, actually. That's very cool.
Yeah, he awesome. He crazy, but he awesome.
Both. Both of those things.
Both of those, right. Well, congratulations to actor George Takei, of course, TV's Mr. Sulu from Star Trek. Here's a little bit of the coverage on Entertainment Tonight last night about his weekend wedding.
Star Trek actor George Takei married longtime partner Brad Altman tonight at the Japanese-American National Museum in downtown Los Angeles. 200 family members and close friends attended that ceremony, including some of Takei's Star Trek co-stars.
Come along with us. We're going to get married.
We were along for the ride and for every step of George and partner Brad Altman's big day, from the rings designed by Native American artists in silver and turquoise.
I won't lose it.
Well,
don't you worry about that.
To the post-wedding walk backed by a bagpipe.
One of those poppers hit me right in the
forehead. Really?
Whoa. Mr. Takei, you had I understand poppers for the honeymoon, but at the wedding? George?
Yes. Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, first of all, congratulations to you and your boyfriend.
We couldn't be happier. Run cloud 90. Not 90.
I understand.
90.
I gotcha.
Now, you were one of the, you and your boyfriend were one of the couples that have just been waiting, it seems like for decades, for the law to finally change so that you could become legally married in the state of California, right?
Yes, yes. We were waiting for equality to live long and prosper. Right. And now, finally, my husband could go where many men have gone before.
Well, yeah, there's that. All right, George. Okay, George.
Oh, my
George?
Goodness.
Oh. What the hell?
Oh, my goodness.
You okay?
My phaser just went off.
Are you sure,
well,
Dad?
Yes. I'm afraid about that.
Oh, my goodness.
Get Mr.
Takei
a towel.
KY jelly.
Oh, wow. Now what's going on?
Oh, my husband's trying to open my shuttle bay door.
Sounds like a good time at your place. Hey,
yes.
Was the big day everything that you, the blushing bride, had always dreamed about, George?
Oh, we couldn't have been happier. It was an amazing ceremony. Of course, my good friend Michelle Nichols was there, and Walter Koenig as well. So it was
okay,
just
now,
like being back on the bridge of the Enterprise. Only I wasn't getting paid, and no one cared. And then we had an amazing reception. The food was excellent. We had some steak from Rigel Four, which is actually Salisbury steak. And we
had
some
Romulan
ale, which, of course, is just Old English with some food coloring.
Right.
And the cake
right.
was amazing. The cake was shaped like Ricardo Montalban's pecs. From Wrath of Khan. And when we cut into it, and we had candy corn nipples. It was delicious.
Wow. It seems so odd here in 2008, you know, 40 years after the show went off the air, that everything about your reception was Star Trek related.
Yes, well, that's all I have, really, to hold
on
well, to. I only have Star Trek and penis. That's the only things I still have.
Well, what about Heroes? Were any of your Heroes co-stars there?
No, the Heroes cast couldn't make it because they have careers. And they have jobs, but rest of the Star Trek cast, they didn't have any auto shows to be signing autographs at, so they were able to come up and appear. And we had a wonderful time with all my friends and family, and I want to thank my sister Lika.
Was Lika there
for helping put the whole thing together? She was amazing.
George, I just was helping out a little bit. But I have to say that my idea was the triple appetizers, and they were a huge hit.
Yes, they were.
Everyone loved it. George was so beautiful as the bride.
Oh, thank you,
You're
Mika.
Welcome. I helped dress him. He was lovely.
You have any questions, Bean? Are you out? Are you finished?
I just can't believe we had the return of Lika on this show. I never thought that would happen.
I can't imagine why not. I'm very popular.
I think Bean has beamed off of this sketch already.
I think you're right.
How about another round of the Internet Roundup?
Yeehaw! Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt in, drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
I've been saying it for a long time now, and I stand by it. There is more entertainment to be found on the internet than there is on television most days.
Yeah, and you're probably right.
There's so much, and of course there's a lot of crap too, but there's so much great stuff that it's impossible to catch it all. Yeah, your friends can tip you off to stuff they find on YouTube, but there's so much out there, and that's why we try to keep a running tally for you at KROQ.com in the Kevin and Bean section, something we call the Internet Roundup. For instance, go to KROQ.com this morning. Maybe you didn't realize there's a new episode of The Retarded Policeman. This one, he pulls over a couple of underage girls.
Hi there. It's a pretty day today. I like pretty days. Do you like pretty days? Hello, I'm a fly.
Ouch.
Do you ladies know I'll put you over?
Because I ran over a stop sign.
No.
Because we drove through that yard back there?
No. Give up? Because you're so cute, I just want to eat you up. It's that rum. You know what this means, don't you? It's pina colada time!
I love The Return of Policeman so much. And in that episode, by the way, he and the girls end up rolling around on the grass talking about how much they all want to marry Zac Efron. So it was a very special episode of The Return of Policeman. That's at KROQ.com.
Yes.
There's nothing better than being Rickrolled, as you know. For some reason, in the last year or so, Rick Astley's hit from the 80s, Never Gonna Give You Up, has become an internet sensation in so many different ways. And now somebody, and I'd like to find out who, has taken the time to edit Barack Obama onto the big screen in a video behind John McCain's acceptance speech at the Republican National Convention. So you follow me here? So John McCain's up on stage trying to give a speech.
Right.
And the video starts behind him, and it's Barack Obama at the convention. Okay, so clearly this didn't happen. It's just a Photoshop deal. But even weirder than that is Barack Obama, they've taken his speeches, edited them together so that he's singing the words to Never Gonna Give You Up. Here's a little taste of that.
You know the rules, and so do I. A full commitment to what I am. You would not get this from any other guy. I just wanted to tell you how I'm feeling.
That's so weird.
Can you imagine how much time it must have taken somebody to go through every Barack Obama speech to try to pull out the lyrics to that song and edit it together?
Wow. They're like, driven.
Why?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But the Rick Astley thing is funny.
It is funny. I do love the Rick rolling, but that's Barack rolling is what that is. That's up at the Internet Roundup, KROQ.com, Kevin and Bean section. If you missed the season premiere this season of Saturday Night Live, it was this past Saturday. Amy Poehler as Hillary Clinton up at the podium with Sarah Palin, played by Tina Fey, returning cast member. She nailed the voice. She nailed the impression. The whole thing is up at KROQ.com. Here's a taste of it.
You know, Hillary and I don't agree on everything.
Anything.
I believe that diplomacy should be the cornerstone of any foreign policy.
And I can see Russia from my house.
I believe global warming is caused by man.
And I believe it's just God hugging us closer.
I don't agree with the Bush doctrine.
And I don't know what that
is. But Sarah, one thing we can agree on is that sexism can never be allowed to permeate an American election.
So please, stop photoshopping my head on sexy bikini pictures.
Stop saying I have cankles.
It is a very funny sketch. You got to check that out. And finally, the last new piece up at KROQ.com Internet Roundup is something that a KROQ listener sent in to us. And I want to thank you for catching this. It's an unusual piece because, well, it's not intentionally dirty, I don't think, but it comes out that way. It's the Channel 5 morning show sent a reporter out to a place where they blow glass. And she's learning how to blow glass. And something about the play-by-play of what she's doing out there, well, it's kind of hard to listen to and not notice.
This now is the art of blowing here at Revolution. Now tell me what to do here.
Okay, so you just go down and blow on the end of the blowpipe there.
Okay, now right when I heard that, I thought, this is really out of control already. And I don't know whether she's saying things like this on purpose because she thinks it's funny that she's kind of getting away with being dirty on the air.
Mm-hmm.
But you can hear some people behind her that start to laugh the further into the piece it goes. Again, don't misunderstand, we're only talking about blowing glass here.
You just blow as hard as you can there. Okay, slow up a little now. Slow your blowing.
Oh.
Okay, just keep blowing soft now. You just keep filling it with air.
Okay.
And you can stop blowing.
That was a lot of direction that I got when I was down there. I appreciate that. That's good stuff. Now, this is something that you learn, actually, after you've done the beginner courses. You can make something like this. And is it really like a 2 or 3 person process?
What? It is. It's a team process. So we work together. We'll often help one person turning, one person shaping. We take turns taking heats because it's very hot.
Excellent stuff. So not only out here can you take individual classes, you can take group classes. You can then, once you get good, pay for rental time and come on your own.
Okay. God.
I want to party with her, I'll tell you.
Gene Simmons anyway. Just died.
See the video of that and all the others. KRock.com, Kevin DeBean section. It's the Internet Roundup. It can't really be 7 seasons already of The Shield, can it? Really?
Can you believe it?
That's a big chunk of your life right there.
Yeah, it is. Well, you know what? To put it in context, my daughter Autumn started the show when she was 7, and now she's 14. It's half her life.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
So
that's the great Michael Chiklis sitting down with us here at the world-famous K-Rock this morning. The Shield, the final act, Tuesday nights at 10. Why, tonight's Tuesday, so that'll be on FX at 10 o'clock. You know, it's so funny. I was thinking, right as we were getting ready to bring you on, Michael, I was thinking, I remember when you came in very early on in that first season when The Shield hit, and it hit hard, if I remember correctly.
Oh,
I mean, people really sat up and took notice of the show, partly because it was on FX and people weren't expecting it, partly because it really broke some molds over there on basic cable. And we had you in very early, and at the time, you know, we didn't really know who you were. You were Curly to us, you know? And now we look at you and you're freaking McMackie, you know? Yeah. I mean, what a change it's been for you in 7 years of doing this show.
It's been incredible.
I Magic can't believe you're still alive, by the way. Honest to God.
That's true.
It's funny that you say that, because the only question I ever had about the credibility of the character of Vic Mackey is that I would ask Sean, you know, wouldn't this guy have had a heart attack or an aneurysm by now?
Or have been shot in the head.
Shot in the head. You know,
he's intense.
Yeah, he's...
Lost his hands and feet.
He's rather high strung, isn't he?
But the great thing about the character, I think, is that that's what keeps him going. That's the engine. He thrives on that sort of chaos that he surrounds himself with at all times.
Yeah, it's funny. That's Sean's answer, too.
He can't seem to get out of his own way because he needs that to keep going. That's the fuel for him.
Yeah, absolutely. He digs the action. You know, he's right in there. And, you know, it really has been an incredible experience on every level, professionally, personally.
What a great opportunity to play a character like that, who has all the best intentions in the world, but does all the wrong things for all the right reasons, yet can't get out of his own way. And I was watching, FX was kind enough to give us a disc with some of the upcoming episodes this season.
So cool.
I've been watching in advance a little bit. And it just struck me as tragic, almost, you know, like a Shakespearean sense, how this character is desperate. He does everything out of desperation for the things that he loves, his family, his job, his friends, and it all backfires, especially this season. All kinds of comes crashing down on him.
Definitely is a tragedy. I mean, you know, we've modeled it somewhat after the Scottish play, you know, Shakespeare.
Right.
You know, it's very, you know, when you have friends betraying friends, and loyalties play in a big way in this show. We
trust is a
trust
is a
and
high commodity.
Huge, exactly.
Yeah, tell them that.
Right. Well, no, but that's what I mean.
I know.
It's one thing when, you know, when a cop is killed on a television show, but when he's killed by his own friend, a fellow cop, you know, after all that you've seen them go through together, it's, you know, it has that much more of an impact.
Absolutely.
You know? It's amazing how people, if you ask people who are fans of the show, they think the body count is a lot higher on the show than it really actually is, because the actual killings have such impact.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
So we, you know, we just wanted to be good storytellers. That was the focus throughout. People would say every year, what are you going to do to outdo yourself this year? And we always were afraid of that. We didn't want to do that. We didn't want to go over the top and sort of try to outdo ourselves. You know, we always stayed focused on telling really compelling, good stories.
And the beauty is, too, that you guys have not forgotten where you come from. It's not one of those shows where every week is just sort of like a separate individual episode that stands alone. I mean, things that have happened seasons ago are coming home to roost in this particular season.
Right, we've always looked at the show as one big, long movie.
Right, right.
You know, and that's makes it a little hard for people who don't know the show, but I can't tell you how many fans have come up to me and say, you know, I went back and bought the DVDs, and, you know, I've watched them all. You know, I watch a season in two sittings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's 13 hours, you know. I was telling
Dom, the guy from FX, he asked me if I'd seen any of the episodes. And I said, yeah, I sat down last night after Monday Night Football, consoling myself after my Eagles lost. And I said,
what a game, though. What a great game. Crazy good game.
I said, I'm just going to watch a couple of them because, you know, I know Chiklis is coming in tomorrow. So I sat down and I started watching one. And I said, well, I got to see what happens next. Right. And I watched the next. I sat through seven episodes last night.
Oh, my God.
Really? Yeah, TV. That's what
it's
I hear all the time.
1 o'clock in the morning, I went to bed after watching the entire three-disc set.
Really?
I mean, it's crazy. It's so compelling. It's
well,
just
you want to know what happens next. And
you can't help it.
The last seven, I got to say... you know what I'm thrilled about is that after 7 years and it's in the can, I feel like we from front to back, we did it. We did what we set out to do, which is not to make a great pilot or a great season of television, but to make a great series all the way from beginning to end. And that's really tough. That's a tall order.
Yeah. When did you know that this was going to be the last season? And how did that news come down, and how did you feel about it when you heard it?
Well, I think part of the decision-making process, you know, Sean and the guys in the network and I discussed it. We had actually started talking about it going into year five, and we were thinking that maybe that was going to be the last year. I mean, ultimately, the decision was Sean's to make, but, being the lead of the show, I had something to say there as well. Yeah. So we
and you agreed with it. You thought that was the amount of time that you needed to tell the story that you wanted to tell and get out and make it great.
Well, season five, we became very apparent that we had a lot more story to tell. But going into seven, it really felt right. It felt like, okay, yeah, you know, we don't want this to become sort of a caricature of itself.
Right.
You know, and it feels like the tension is such at this point, it's coming to such a head that something's got to give, and this house of cards has to fall apart.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And people are so invested in Mackie to find out what's going to happen to him at the end of this thing. Is he going to be dead or alive? Obviously, is question number one. Is he going to still be a cop? Is he going to have any friends or family left?
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much. The stakes are so high for this guy that, yeah, of course, it's going to take a long time for all that to play out. But how many episodes are left, Michael?
Well, there's...
We've had two already.
We've had two, so it's a total of 13, so I guess 11 are left.
How I hate to ask this because it sounds like such a cliche, but it's such a big part of your life. What was it like filming that last episode?
Well, it was particularly strange because we shot it the first 2 weeks of the writer's strike. And, you know, you have these sort of pictures in your mind of what it'll be like. And it wasn't like that at all. In a way it was because we were primarily all together, but mm-hmm. it was weird because the writers weren't there, and I thought mm-hmm. that we would all be together to close it out. But Sean called me the night before the strike, and which was the day before we started shooting the final episode, and he said, look, Chicky, we're going on strike. It's happening. And, you're the last producer standing, so you have to produce this last show. And, you know, I put it in your hands and just do what you do. So,
yeah, no pressure there.
Well, no, listen, that's really the way we functioned anyway, in terms of, you know, once the scripts came down to us, the set was sort of my domain, you know, and we were used to, you know, we were very greased wheel, if you will. You know,
you have the system down at that
point. Yeah, we were, you know, really fine running machine at that point. So we knew we would handle that aspect of it. It was just more of a familial thing that we didn't get to close it out together. And that was odd that last night when we wrapped and, you know, we did our toasts and, you know, the writers weren't there. That was a big hole, you know.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, but, you know, it... we're getting a nice send off. The press has been great, and the fans have been unbelievable. And we feel very strongly about it.
For you personally, though, it's got to be hard because an actor dreams of a role like this, and it has been such a big chunk of your life to walk away. It's got to feel like an end. I guess a new beginning, but an end that's something you'll miss. Obviously.
Well, see, I don't want to focus on that aspect of it because if you live your life looking in the rearview mirror, you're in trouble. You know, and I'm not a laurels guy. You
right,
know,
right.
this was hopefully Vic Mackey will become a part of a greater body of work. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been, you know, in this business for a long time and starting to put together a nice body of work. And yes, Vic Mackey will be a big one in there. And it was a huge and phenomenal experience. But what are you going to say? What do you? You want me to focus on how sad I am?
No, not at all. I just, you know, there has to be a part of it. I'm sure.
Absolutely,
you're a talented guy. You'll move on. But I'm just thinking. I'm just thinking from the actor's point of view. You dream of roles. I mean,
sure,
having been in the business for a long time,
of a role.
You got to do a lot of crappy roles and a lot of crappy projects, and you get something this special. You have to take a moment and just say, "I appreciate
part
that."
Part of the downside is that, you know, I'm spoiled. Right. You know, and it's been hard picking roles right now because I am spoiled. I'm used to reading scripts every week that are superlative and, you know, and playing a role that's as complex and three-dimensional as I've ever had the opportunity to play. And that just doesn't happen every day. It just doesn't.
You have to understand, though, coming from our standpoint, Michael, is that you have things in your future to look forward to. We don't. We have peaked so many years ago that all we have are memories. So it's hard for us. It's hard for us to see what you're going through.
And we're gonna miss Vic. I mean, that was part of my family every week too. You know, so you get attached to characters and you're going to miss them. So I'm hoping he comes back as sort of like a sitcom, like a spinoff where, you know, Vic opens a bar or something. He's got a wacky neighbor.
Adopts some black Mackey's kids.
Exactly.
Mackey's Bar and Grill.
Yeah. Exactly.
The Shield, the final act, is what they're calling this final season, and it airs Tuesday nights at 10 on FX. I don't think we even have time for the clip here, Michael, because we want to catch up with Mr. Chiklis before he has to go off and do some TV. Big screen movie coming out.
Yeah,
is it,
absolutely.
Is it this Friday or next Friday that Eagle Eye is coming out?
The 26th, I think it opens.
The 26th. Yeah. It's an extraordinary film. It really is great, I have to say. It's really easy to promote a film when you really like it. And it's one of my old S.H.I.E.L.D. buddies, DJ Caruso, who directed about a half dozen episodes of The S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, it's kind of a cool story how I got involved in this movie. I really owe it to his three-year-old son.
Really?
Yeah. The week after we wrapped The S.H.I.E.L.D., it was a Sunday morning. I was sleeping. My phone rang at 7:30 in the morning. And I, you know, didn't wake up in time to get the phone call. And I look at the caller ID and it says DJ Caruso. So I call him and I'm like, DJ, what are you doing? You know, it's like, I'm sorry, my knucklehead kid's playing with my cell phone. And he called Angelina Jolie first and then he called you. It's like, well, I'm in good company. I said, what's going on? He said, I'm shooting Eagle Eye. I said, well, how's it going? He goes, great. What are you doing right now? And I go, well, I just wrapped The S.H.I.E.L.D. He goes, you want to play the Secretary of Defense? And I was like, yeah, cool. That's, let me send it to me. Let me see. You know, and it ended up being a really, really cool role, actually. I mean, the idea of playing a guy who makes decisions and people live and die by those decisions, you know, just struck me as something really fascinating. And, you know, it's one of those pinch me moments when you get to fly into the Pentagon in a Black Hawk helicopter and, you know, and get a tour of the bowels of the Pentagon.
Wow.
And
cool.
You know, yeah, I mean, that's one of those things that, you know, actors get to do that make it an incredibly cool job, you know. So it was an excellent experience. Shia is unbelievable in the movie.
He's the real deal.
Yeah,
that
he
kid,
really
right?
is. The kid is. He's. I can't say enough about him. You know, I kind of feel like a big brother to him because I feel protective of him. You know, he's. You know, he's smart. He's incredibly talented. He's really grounded. I think this kid's going to have an amazing career. And really, really, you know, not to take away from Shia whatsoever, but I really think the star of this movie is DJ Caruso because it's so tight. It's so well directed. It's one of those few action movies that's like a popcorn movie that's incredibly entertaining and exciting, but it's also really smart. Mm-hmm. And when you watch this movie, you'll never look at your cell phone the same way again. You just won't. It deals with the insidious nature of technology and, you know, how we're being watched and listened to and, you know, how much of that do we want in the name of keeping us safe? You know, it's...
Well, it's a tremendous cast. You mentioned Shia. Rosario Dawson is also in this movie. Billy Bob is in this movie. Yeah. Michelle Monaghan is in this movie. I mean, it just has everything.
And I play the voice of the newscaster on the radio that they're listening to in their car.
Well, so say I'm in the no movie more.
Awesome.
I'm
awesome. In there too. Well, so, there yeah. it is. It's a hit.
Yeah, exactly. Got me. It's all you need.
Exactly. All right. Eagle Eye comes out on the 26th. The Shield, the final act, is every Tuesday night at 10 on FX. By the way, take Mr. Chiklis' advice earlier. If you missed any or haven't caught up on to the magic that is The Shield, it's all out on DVD up till this season, too. You owe yourself to catch up on the show because it's one of the all-time greats. And it's always great to catch up with you, man. Thanks a lot for squeezing us in today. We appreciate it.
It's great to be here.
I just got the showbiz beat for Tuesday morning. What's going on?
Dirty Sexy Mummy sounds like a really good horror movie.
It does.
I'd rather see that, I think, than Dirty Sexy Mummy. That sounds great. Congratulations to our boys at Metallica. They are set to have the number one album in America this week. Billboard.com says Death Magnetic sold nearly 500,000 copies since it went on sale on Friday. So that's only a three-day tally.
Dude,
the chart closed on Sunday for the week. So, yeah, that's pretty good. Besides the sale of the CD and the album downloads, Metallica also bundled the new album with tickets for its upcoming tour and in copies of the video game Guitar Hero and in a brand new set of Metallica headphones. So a lot of people have their hands on this new CD, and I'll tell you, people are just raving about it. I haven't heard the whole thing yet, but it's just, from all accounts, best Metallica album in years.
Yeah. It'll melt your face.
Well, that's what I look for in music.
Yeah.
A lot of face melting. Speaking of CDs, from the sublime to the ridiculous, Britney Spears has announced the release date of her new album. It'll be December the 2nd, which is also her 27th birthday. Can you believe she's only 27 years old?
She looks 45, if that, if that helps.
Going for her. Circus is the name of it.
Perfect.
Follows up Blackout, her previous CD.
Yep.
This is all just slices of her life, I guess. The first single, Womanizer, drops next Monday, so I'm sure we'll have a little taste for you next Monday when that comes out.
Oh, yes.
Womanizer. Who could that be about? Let me just talk to K-Fed, see if he takes that personally. Vin Diesel may be going back in time, trying to find a little bit more success than he has recently. What was that movie he had that came out recently where he was trying to get some girl with a
narcolepsy
virus to Babylon AD?
There it is. Yeah. There you go. That's it.
He, of course, is also returning to the Fast and Furious franchise that he walked away from and is now in talks to reprise his role in the XXX film franchise. The new installment would be called XXX, The Return of Xander Cage.
So, that's what we want. The movies he wouldn't do because he was too big a star, he's crawling back and saying, please, can I be part of that franchise?
Can I do another chapter of XXX? Can I do another Fast and Furious?
Can I
do another Suburban Commando Nanny or whatever the hell that movie was where he had a duck?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Xander Cage. Not since the days of Fastlane have we had a name like that. And apparently, there's a curse that comes along with being on 90210. Turns you into a bitch. Shanae Grimes, who plays Ann Wilson in the series, she is the character that is the new girl in town, much like Shannon Doherty's character was in the original.
Oh.
Okay.
Is just hell on wheels on the set. New York Post reports that she has just been tormenting people, acts rude to the cast and crew, the extras, even yelled, "Who the hell are you?" at one of the show's guest stars on a recent episode.
Nice.
Who the hell is she?
She's Shanae Grimes. She's Shanae Grimes from Beverly Hills 90210.
Where did
Stupid
ass bitch.
She got into it with Shannon Doherty, too, and Shannon appeared in the first episode of the series.
Oh, you don't want to do
you
that.
You do not want to start with Doherty. She will unleash on you. Shannon, by the way, was a draw for a lot of people. The viewership went down by 1.7 million viewers on the week that Shannon wasn't on the show. So,
I guess this broad made her name on Degrassi High. Canada and some junk.
Freaking Canadians with their goddamn attitude and their wars and their guns. Oh, wait a minute. That's not them.
Stupid ass bitch.
Yeah. Eva Mendez has a celebrity crush. She talks to the Post Chronicle in an interview and says that she has a crush on Mick Jagger.
Let's all keep it funky now.
Mick Jagger,
who's
11D.
He's got to be 65.
And looks like a Shar Pei crossed with a wolfhound. She says he looks delicious, Eva Mendez says about Mick Jagger.
It's got to be his muscular physique.
That's what it's got to be. The only guy who makes Iggy Pop look swole.
And his smooth baby skin, too. It's got to be that.
Yeah, he looks rough.
He has Samantha Ronson's physique. I was noticing that.
Just about.
And Gwen Stefani and Gavin Rossdale finally clued us in as to the meaning of Zuma. Of course, is the name of their new son. Star Magazine reports that turns out Zuma, as many people have speculated, is named after the beach. And it turns out that's where he was conceived.
Yeah!
In Malibu. So,
okay. On the beach or at a hotel on the beach or what?
It does not say exactly where in or on Zuma he was conceived, but that was the location. So, although they did say he came out a little sandy. So it may have been on the beach.
Come on now.
That's what I'm saying.
He had to get a whisk broom and clean him up when he was delivered. Whisk broom. You don't hear the whisk broom being thrown about very often. Today's celebrity birthday is Nick Jonas of the Jonas Brothers. He's just 16 years old today. I'm so happy for him. Alexis Bledel from Gilmore Girls and from the sorority of the Magic Pantaloons.
Yes.
She is 27 years old today. Amy Poehler from Saturday Night Live turns 37. Molly Shannon is 44. David Copperfield is 52 years old today. It's a magical 52. And Ed Begley Jr. turns 59. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You know, when I saw J.J. Abrams had a new show, Ralph, I said, I'm in. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it's about. I don't care when it's on. I'm going to watch it.
I'm not nearly that forgiving. I said, I'm going to watch it first. And then I watched and said, God damn it, he's got me again. Now I'm sucked in. Now I got to find out what's going on with Massive Dynamic, and I got to know what's going on there, and how does Blair Brown have a bionic arm, and now I'm in again. Now I got another 7 years of my life I have to give to J.J. Abrams. I'm screwed.
J.J., seriously, you've taken more time out of our personal lives than our families have over the years, my friend. Is Mr. J.J. Abrams not on the phone?
You're supposed to be. Hold on.
J.J., hello?
Come on, Psycho Mike.
Connected.
Connect him.
Come on, put him on the air, Mike. Don't make us talk about him.
My part. Hello?
There he is.
There he is. There's our boy. Hey, JJ, how are you, man?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me.
We're just cursing your name for how you've sucked us in one more time.
I apologize.
JJ, I want to thank you for the greatest line of dialogue I've heard so far on television ever in the premiere episode of Fringe, where Dr. Bishop says, "Excellent, let's make some acid." That was my favorite line.
Well, you're very sweet. Thank you. It says a lot about you.
JJ, I know you only have a very few minutes before you got to run off to another engagement. Tell us where Fringe came from, what it's all about from your perspective. What is it that you love about Fringe?
Alex Kurtzman and Bob Orsi and I literally just came up with this idea based on, you know, the kind of show we'd want to see. Just sort of inspired by the stuff we loved as kids, you know, shows like, you know, X-Files and Twilight Zone and Night Stalker and David Cronenberg movies and Altered States and all these things that we sort of loved. We just came up with a show that felt like it lived in that world.
And this sure does. It owes a lot to them, but it's got a real fresh take on it, too. And casting, I think, is one of your strong suits, JJ. The actors you've brought to the show are just incredible. Anna Torv is just amazing as Olivia.
Yeah, we have a great casting director, and everyone always says, you know, hey, you know, how do you find the actresses who, and it's like, literally, we have this casting director, April Webster, who just shows us great actresses, and we're like, that one? It's like, you know, it's sort of a no-brainer.
And John Noble, who plays Dr. Bishop, he must have been an actor forever. He's an older guy, but yeah. I've never seen him before, but he's brilliant in that role.
That's great of you to say. He is terrific, and he's really incredibly smart, very funny guy. He's Australian, as is Anna, and he actually was in the Lord of the Rings movies. He's really a brilliant guy, and Josh Jackson's really good. I mean, we have a great cast.
You do, yeah.
Yeah. Of course, I have to ask, where the hell's Grunberg? I mean, what's up with that? One episode no Greg?
First of all, you can't afford the guy anymore.
That's true.
That's what he says. Secondly, he's one of our heroes.
That's
right,
true.
He's busy.
He's too famous.
Yeah.
Become too famous.
He's saving the world now. That's true. All right. Let's just say people missed the premiere last week, and then they missed the encore presentation that I watched on Sunday night, by the way, and they want to check out Fringe tonight. What is it you think they need to know in order to pick up the story so far, JJ?
I think if you want to watch something that is thrilling and scary and funny and a little bit different, then you should check out the show. You don't need to know anything about the pilot. This episode explains everything you need to know. You don't need to...
Oh, great. You'd
be in any club or anything.
Okay. Now,
I don't need a decoder ring or anything, JJ?
No, you need the ring.
All right, I'm going to get that.
Will you make the lost promise to us, which is that on a complicated show like this with a mythology and with a lot of balls up in the air, you do know where it's going, you do have a plan, and you guys aren't making it up every week before you film the show?
We have one giant story that is the kind of key to the whole show, but if I said to you I knew what episode 15 in season 4 was going to be, I would be lying. I mean, the key to doing a show like this is, you know, have a direction, but also be willing to go, you know, somewhere that you don't expect. And the truth is, like what Damon does with Lost is, you know, he, in figuring out kind of where the big picture was going, he has been so amazing in taking, for example, you know, Michael Emerson, who comes on, played Ben. All of a sudden, that guy clearly was such a breakout main character that he incorporated him in a way that if he'd followed some pre-existing plan, he never would have. So you have to be flexible.
Right. Certainly, yeah. Well, like we said when we were watching on, and we weren't just kidding. You know, we've told you this in the past. If you're involved, we're willing to give you the benefit of the doubt, and I'm glad we checked out Fringe. It is new this season on Fox, Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock. Episode number 2 is tonight. Please, if you missed it so far, it's not too late to get on board, because JJ just makes quality television. That's all there is about it, dude. And I know you got to go, and we really appreciate you squeezing us in this morning.
Per usual, you guys are the greatest. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks for the great show.
Okay,
thanks,
JJ. Bye-bye. Gustavo Arellano, I got to tell you, you were very close to being canceled this morning.
Really?
Very close. I mean, we love you, and we're happy you're in, and happy Independence Day and all that, blah, blah, blah. But we haven't talked about Megan Fox's lesbian experience with a stripper named Nikita in like an hour, and I don't know that I have time for your Mexican BS if we haven't talked about Megan Fox in an hour.
Megan Fox is half Mexican, so this is perfectly fine to talk about her.
She's,
did we know that?
Isn't she from Tennessee or someplace?
Yeah.
Look, she's about as Mexican as you could get. She's hot, she has curves, and she's showing her cha-chas every 5 seconds. How much more Mexican do you want?
There is that. Anyway, we will definitely get back to that because it's the greatest story in the history of the world. In the meantime, Gustavo is here, and he is back with yet another book, the follow-up to his smash hit Ask a Mexican. He has written a new book called Orange County, A Personal History. I've been taking notes. Now, you have grown up in Orange County, is that right, Gustavo?
Four generations of my family have been in Orange County from 1918, when my great-grandfather and grandfather came to Anaheim and picked oranges, to my mom, who packed tomatoes, and then to me, who works for the OC Weekly.
Wow.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Now, what made you want to write a book about Orange County?
To me, Orange County has all these stereotypes attached to it. Some of them true, some of them not so true. You know, the place where all good Republicans go to die, the Mexican-hating capital of the United States, the shows like the OC and Arrested Development and so forth. But Orange County is usually not taken seriously by the historians in the United States. So I decided to do a history of Orange County that shows how the county has influenced the United States, profoundly influenced the United States in different ways, in religion, in politics, in you know, the ideas of master plan communities. And then at the same time, though, I wanted to talk a little bit about my family and to show everyone that, yeah, Mexicans can exist in this country while learning English and pay a mortgage and all those good things. So that part's Ask a Mexican Part 2, but the Orange County part's very straightforward, serious history.
See, now that's really interesting to me because I think Orange County probably suffers from an identity crisis around much of the country because of its proximity to Los Angeles. People just think of Southern California as being Los Angeles, and Orange County is not Los Angeles.
Definitely, and you've really seen Orange County try to start formulating an identity for itself in the past 20 years or so. Once Orange County really became past suburbia and into post-suburbia, really, where you started having cities like Irvine, like Anaheim, Huntington Beach, and frankly, by the time you had Orange County have a population of over 3 million people, if it was its own city, Orange County would be the third largest city in the United States after New York and Los Angeles.
Wow.
Yeah,
how about that?
Even bigger than Chicago.
How Mexican is Orange County, or how white is Orange County, if that's a better question?
Orange County, of course, used to be the capital of white America. That was the most wonderful place for a white man to be. Nowadays, it's majority-minority, so whites make up less than 50% of the population. And if current population trends hold, right now Latinos make up one-third of the population, but if current trends hold, Latinos will be the majority in about 30 years. And you know, with us having so many kids, that will be the truth.
Oh, come on. 10 years,
really.
Yeah, really.
The book is called Orange County, A Personal History. I've been taking notes. Gustavo is going to be signing copies of the book tonight at 7 o'clock at the Border Store on Washington Boulevard in Pico Rivera. That's at 8852 Washington Boulevard, Pico Rivera. That's going to be tonight at 7 o'clock, the Borders Store. September 16th, it's no coincidence that today is the day that you're here and today is the day that you're doing the book signing. It's a special day for you and your people, right, Gustavo?
It's actually an absolute coincidence because book publishers, they like to publish their books on Tuesday. Therefore, it was published. The fact that it happened on
on Mexican Independence Day, I think that shows that God really is Mexican.
It seems to me, by the way, that most of our listeners don't know anything about Mexican Independence Day. They always think of Cinco de Mayo as being the big holiday, when in fact, this is the one that people actually celebrate in Mexico, right?
Yeah. I've never understood that difference or why people think Mexican Independence Day is the same as Cinco de Mayo. I'm sure maybe people think, oh, Mexicans are partying, therefore that has to be Independence Day. There has to be Independence Days all the time. But no, Cinco de Mayo is when a Mexican army staved off a French invasion back in 1861. Mexican Independence Day, which is today, that happened to be when when Mexicans broke off from Spain and started the war for independence that then spread across the rest of Latin America. It wasn't just Mexico. Actually, a lot of other countries celebrate their Independence Day on September 16th.
Oh, okay. I didn't know
okay,
that.
Okay, yeah. Got it. All right, so if that's the type of thing you want to know, if you'd like to ask a Mexican, then you can call right now. You know Gustavo's in here talking about his book, but we can't let him go without taking some of your phone calls, too. Ask a Mexican is any topic about Mexicans that you've always wanted to know. Gustavo is the man. You've never been stumped, have you, Gustavo? There's never been a question you haven't known the answer to.
I think there was one time, but I was drunk, so that makes no excuse. 1-800-520-1067.
Your calls for Gustavo Arellano when we return right after this in the world. Mexicans love The Offspring, right, Gustavo? That's one of your bands?
I love The Offspring. All Mexicans love The Offspring because Dexter Holland has the greatest hot sauce in history, Gringo Bandito.
Is it really
yes,
good?
Yes, it's very good.
I once did a review. The first time I got his Gringo Bandito hot sauce, I threw it in the trash can because I'm like, what does he know about hot sauce? But then my boss said, no, you should try it a little bit, and I put it on. I use it all the time now.
No kidding.
It's great.
It's better than Tapatio. It's better than Cholula. The only one that it's not better than is homemade salsas, but it's such a great hot sauce.
Wow.
It really is.
It is great. In fact, we had Dexter stopped by with noodles from The Offspring at our Cinco de Mayo broadcast that we did this year. And he brought some of his hot sauce, and we talked about it. And we had our intern beer mug drink a bottle of it right in front of us, which was awesome. Gustavo Arellano is here in the studio. Of course, he is the author of the widely syndicated column that started in the Orange County Weekly called Ask a Mexican. He's got a new book out called Orange County, A Personal History. I've been taking notes. You can meet Gustavo and get your book signed tonight at Borders on Washington Boulevard in Pico Rivera. By the way, early review of the book. I don't know if you heard this or not, Gustavo.
This book promotes death.
I was surprised to see that. But since Gustavo is here, 1-800-520-1067, it's time to Ask a Mexican.
Mexican Americans don't like to get up early.
I'm on a Mexican radio.
Did somebody order Mexican?
All right. Boy, we got some great calls, as always. It is an inexhaustible topic. 1-800-520-1067. Let's start on line two, please. We've got Eric calling Pasadena. Yeah, Eric, you're on with Gustavo. Ask a Mexican.
Gustavo, I wondered if you've seen MexicanMuffinTops.com.
We actually talked to the creator.
I'm going to check it out today. I have not seen it. Is it a good site?
I love it. It's one of my favorites.
We had a discussion when we had the guy on who runs MexicanMuffinTops.com, and we were trying to decide whether there was something culturally in the Mexican community or the Latino community that makes it okay to have the muffin tops, to show so much belly. What do you think, Gustavo?
Mexican, as I said earlier, Mexican women love to show off. And they kind of like to either wear clothes that is somewhat revealing but not all the way, or at the most, what they'll relieve is a cleavage and the belly. Our primordial instinct is to love chubby women. And this is all for all humanity. The very first sculpture of a woman is, I think it's called the Venus of Willendorf. It's this huge, massive, fat woman that was found 20,000 years ago. That is supposed to be the Earth Mother. So if Mexican women are showing it off, we're just going back to our roots.
But don't you think Megan Fox has changed all that? I mean, never again will we appreciate chubby women now that we've seen Megan Fox,
yeah,
right?
Megan Fox, yikes. That's all I could say. Yikes.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's try Sean in San Clemente. He's on line five. Hey, Sean, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ask a Mexican.
What up, Gustavo?
What's up, man?
Hey, happy Independence Day. And remember, give props to the Irish, too, for helping Mexico out. It was a different war, but...
Absolutely. The San Patricios.
Verdad. Hey, I'm a white dude, married a beautiful Mexican girl, and the deal is I speak Spanish, I learned in college, but when I go to family parties and we're having a good time and everything, what exactly is the translation of mandalón? Because that's what I get called a lot. I'm not quite sure what it is.
Mandalón or maricón?
Yeah, that one I know.
Okay, I'm glad everyone knows that. You know what? The mandalón... That could also be big bossy person, because mandar is to boss around, and so if they're calling you a mandolón, that means you're bossing your woman around too much.
Well, I think it's because, Well, all right. It's usually when I like get up to help myself or something without having my wife do it. So I was trying to. I couldn't find it in my Spanish dictionary and my college notes. So.
Well, God forbid you ask somebody in your family what it is they're calling you.
I do, and they laugh. That's it.
They won't tell you.
Oh, that's very funny. Let's make fun of the white guy. He won't know what we're talking about. That's very funny. Thank you for the call. Hey, let's talk to a police officer. Josh is on the line. He's at line 7, please. Rancho Santa Margarita. Hey, Josh, ask a Mexican.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi, Josh. Hello.
Hey, Gustavo.
What's up, man?
Hey, I had a quick question. It seems like a lot of the calls we go to at Hispanic homes, there's always a birdcage with a couple parakeets in it, and I just wondered what that was.
I would think that most, because we have 5 cockatiels, 3 canaries. We used to have a parakeet, but it flew away, unfortunately.
Oh,
but this years ago. And, of course, you forgot the chickens. I used to have a chicken in my backyard as well. Mexicans love birds, number one, because they always have a nice little song to sing, and they're really easy to take care of. And also a lot of especially, I'm sure, with Mexicans in apartments, a lot of apartments don't allow dogs or cats, so a bird is much easier to take care of. And they're much better than having a fish that swims around in an aquarium all the time. It's just something that's easy to maintain and something that always has a nice song to sing.
Got it.
All right. Hey, I have an email from Drew who wants to know what the difference is between Chicano and Latino.
The various differences. Okay, let's start with Hispanic. Hispanic means anybody from Spain and Latin America. Anybody who could trace their ancestry or their cultural heritage all the way to Spain. Latino deals specifically with people from Latin America. So basically the parts of the Western Hemisphere that isn't the Caribbean nations, Canada, and the United States. And Chicano specifically is a Mexican American, somebody of Mexican descent who lives in the United States, is assimilated, and usually has a little bit more political bent to them because the word Chicano became popular after the Chicano rights movements of the 1960s. So usually the people who use that word tends to be a little bit more political, a little bit more leftist. I've never heard a conservative Mexican call himself a Chicano. So those are differences.
Okay.
Hey, speaking of the email, Rick writes in, and this kind of speaks to your earlier point about Orange County trying to get out of the shadow of Los Angeles. He wants to know, how does Gustavo feel about the owner of the Los Angeles Angels changing their name to the LA Angels? Isn't he making it harder for Orange County to be seen as not part of Los Angeles?
Artie Moreno, I love the Angels. He's done a great thing with the team, which used to be a laughingstock for so many years, but he's an idiot on this point. It's so embarrassing at a point where Orange County is finally starting to become somewhat prominent in the United States that he would call it to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Any sane person in the world knows that Anaheim is not part of Los Angeles, even though obviously a lot of people try to lump in the two together. Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, it's ridiculous. It would be like if the New York Giants called themselves the Meadowland Park Giants of New York or some stupid thing like that. It's absolute insanity. I'm pissed off about this. Sorry.
Okay.
I guess he did it because he wanted people to, take him more seriously around other parts of the country or something? Thinking that Los Angeles would be a bigger media market,
He thought that he could really brand the Angels better by having the Los Angeles name, and Moreno has been successful at making the Angels more popular, but it's because he has a winning team on the field.
Yes.
If the Dodgers, they've been popular for all these years, not because they have the Los Angeles name, but because for decades and decades, they had great baseball teams. Look at a team like, who's a horrible team? The Pittsburgh Pirates. They used to have a great team. They've been horrible for the past 15 years. They're actually going to set a record for the most consecutive losing seasons in baseball history. They have a major city in front of them, Pittsburgh, but they're not popular because they have a horrible team, and they have horrible teams again and again and again.
Sure. All right. 1-800-520-1067. We got time for a couple more questions for Gustavo. Why don't we go with, let's go with Saul in Newport Beach. I'm not sure I understand his question, but maybe you speak Saul. Hi, Saul. You're on with Gustavo. Go ahead.
What's up, guys? What's up, Gustavo?
What's up, man?
Why are Mexicans such diehard Catholics, Gustavo?
Mexicans are diehard Catholics, first of all, because the Spanish conquistadors who conquered Spain, they were Catholic. They spread Catholicism under the gun and the sword, and so they inculcated that in them for centuries and centuries. But more importantly, Mexicans are Catholic because the main saint is a Virgin of Guadalupe, and the Virgin of Guadalupe for many Mexicans represents salvation and also the reality of the Mexican nation, because Virgin Guadalupe, she is Indian, but she's also a manifestation of a white saint, the Virgin Mary. Like most Mexicans, they have both the European blood and the Indian blood, so that's just a symbol of Mexicanidad. God, really. There's even a joke that says all Mexicans are Catholic, even if they're evangelicals or Protestants or anything like that, because of the Virgin of Guadalupe. And so to this day, since Mexico was a Catholic nation, you still have something like 90% of Mexicans, all of them being Catholic. I wish they weren't so fervent, especially with the sex abuse scandal, but that's another story.
I wish they weren't so fertile being Catholic, too, by the way.
But that's all Catholics. Come on.
Thanks for the call. Scott is in Tustin. He's on line one. Hey, Scott, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ask a Mexican.
Buenos dias, Frijol, Elisa, Mario, y Gustavo.
Hey, hello, buenos dias.
Hey, Gustavo, I had a question. I wanted to know, what is a chupacabra, and who is La Llorona, and why were my friends always afraid of them growing up?
La chupacabra is a monster, not from Mexico, but from Puerto Rico. And that was, chupacabra literally means goat sucker. So it was like this alien, half Tasmanian devil, half dog, that would go around and kill goats. But it came from Puerto Rico, then migrated to Mexico, then crossed over to Brownsville, Texas, and wreaked havoc. It's a true story. La Llorona, on the other hand, it's an archetypical myth, mm-hmm, of a weeping woman, a woman who killed her children, then afterwards regretted it and was doomed to spend the rest of her life crying and crying. La Llorona means a weeping woman. And all cultures have that myth. In Mexico, it's La Llorona, and she's usually found next to riverbeds where she supposedly killed her children. And Mexican parents, they tell these stories to their kids to frighten the hell out of them, kind of like the boogeyman. There's also El Cucuy. Did your friends ever talk about El Cucuy?
Yeah.
He knows what I'm talking about. El Cucuy,
My friends listen to El Cucuy, if that's what you're talking about.
that guy, too. Supposedly, in my mom's village in Mexico, there's a 30-foot snake that flies around at night and eats children. Nice awesome. Stories like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks, man.
We just have time for one more, and it's going to be Jen in Hawthorne. She's on line three. Jen, hi, you're on with Gustavo. Go ahead, ask a Mexican.
Hi, good morning, everyone.
Hi, Jen.
Morning.
Hi, I was just wondering why Mexicans have an overwhelming smell of laundry.
What?
Am I the only one?
No.
I swear, I always smell it. I used to work in a restaurant, and they always smelled so good. And I was wondering if they used a specific detergent or what they do, because I love the smell of laundry.
This is one of the most asked questions I ever
Are
get.
Are you serious?
People email it, too.
Yes.
It's true. It's true. Mexicans use a specific laundry detergent whose name escapes me right now, Savillon or something like that. Mexicans go to Tijuana, or nowadays here, they buy massive, like, 40-gallon buckets of the thing, and moms, they just put in their detergent. It has a very strong, antiseptic, sterile
very
smell. Very
smell.
Specific smell. And so it's overwhelming. And it's Mexican moms buy it because of that nice smell to it.
Oh, my God. It smells so good. Yeah. It smells
You're
going
to have
good.
To get some.
Yeah, we haven't assimilated yet to Tide or... You see, I only know Tide. Yeah. That's the only one I know.
Oh, get that smell
Cheer.
Of Tide.
Cheer, yeah. No, we don't want Tide.
So I need a bucket of laundry detergent from Tijuana.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Hey, Jen, the Mexicans are lucky that they have that smell, because white people, we learned, all smell like mayonnaise.
Yes.
So they win, you know.
It's true.
Thank you very much for the call. That's all the time we have for Ask a Mexican. Gustavo is going to be in Pico Rivera, which, by the way, isn't that in L.A. County, Pico Rivera?
That's in L.A. County, but I also have a book signing on Thursday in Orange County. That's going to be at the Yost Theater in the city of Santa Ana on the corner of 3rd and Spurgeon. If you want more info, call 714-973-7900 or email me, themexican@askamexican.net.
Okay, so Pico Rivera tonight and then Santa Ana on Thursday night for the book. And the book's available everywhere. It's called Orange County, A Personal History. I've been taking notes. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for Gustavo Arellano stopping by today. Happy Independence Day, my friend. We'll see you soon.
Same.
Well, I cannot believe I'm saying this, but it's raining in the OC.
I know, it's crazy. I got to tell you, the traffic is a nightmare. The 405 is jammed. The 5, the 710, they're all gridlocked.
Stay safe, stay dry, and let's all pray for sunshine.
Yay!
Oh. That was one of the all-time great TV moments, wasn't it? It's 8:55 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Recap of last night's Hills with Spencer coming up after the news. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Tuesday morning. What's going on, Argar?
I need to be friends with Heidi Klum.
Really? Why?
I need to be very, very good friends with Heidi Klum.
Sure. That sounds good.
New York Daily News reports that she is good friends with John Mayer. And although Heidi Klum is, of course, married to Seal and has like 17 kids with him, they were... recently at a nightclub last week, and Heidi decided to give John Mayer a impromptu lap dance.
Uh-huh. Whoa!
Yeah, she grinded on top of him and did sort of a faux strip tease for him, and she thought that was extremely funny. Me too. Oh, that's funny. Oh, yeah. Oh, God, that's funny. Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Yo, you're hilarious, Heidi. Oh, yeah.
Why does John Mayer know all the hot chicks?
I don't know.
Because he's
I got no answer.
Because he's a famous rock musician.
But he's not a rock musician. He's sort of like he's flimsy. That's what he is. He's flimsy. And yet he still pulls.
Truth be told, but chicks like seem to prefer that type of.
He rocks.
In an old way.
You know, when his hip lets him. He rocks.
When he doesn't get his skin caught in the big stage fan when he's performing. Oh. Can you imagine like a jowl just getting sucked into one of the stage fans? Yeah, she says that he looks delicious. Wow, that's a word I wouldn't use to describe Mick Jagger.
She's been on a diet a long time.
She must like her meat tough and gamey.
Yeah.
What's going on this week with Eva Mendez talking about Mick Jagger? Yesterday you had Shia LaBeouf hot for Diane Sawyer. Can't anyone look at people their own age anymore?
No. Lance Armstrong likes him young. He tells Fox News that he's well known for being a ladies' man, but he says he doesn't really like a type. However, he does prefer his girls younger than he is.
Yes.
And he describes the look he likes for his female friends to be hotter than donut grease.
Such a redneck.
I like girls who are hotter than donut grease.
God.
Listen, Uniball. You pipe down and get back on your bike. Here he's going to run. Yeah, he's going to run the Tour de France again.
Yep.
Oh, who cares?
One testicle. What an asshole.
Who cares? Freaking bike race.
No one can retire anymore.
Just go away. Just go away. Before I take your other nut. Pink is studying Scientology.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's bad news. Star Magazine reports she's always had an interest in the religion, but her hubby, Kerry Hart, was always the guy who stopped her from getting deeper involved. Now that he's gone, she's looking into it more and more, friends say.
Okay, explain the pink.
Hey, whatever floats your boat, right?
Sure.
Who are we to say? And we had our buddy Michael Chiklis in earlier today from FX, of course. He stars in The Shield on that network. And two of the other FX series stars apparently are playing hardball with the network, looking for a big raise. Julian McMahon and Dylan Walsh, who play Christian Troy and Sean McNamara on Nip Tuck, are apparently gunning for a big-time raise from the basic cable channel. They would like to earn $250,000 per episode.
Boy, dude, wow.
That would be nearly double their salary just last season. Word is the entire cast is in tense salary negotiations with the network for the sixth season of the show. So, could this be the end of Nip Tuck?
Well, I think it's the final season anyway.
Oh, well, there you go. Then it is the end of Nip Tuck.
Yeah, so I guess they're trying
the answer
to,
is yes.
trying to go out with a bang.
Yeah. Maybe FX will say, maybe you've done enough of them. Because it's not really what it was in terms of the,
that's
the
what
ratings
I was thinking.
Juggernaut.
It seems like the big money play would have been about three seasons ago when the show was white hot.
Yeah. And Amy Winehouse had a perfectly legitimate reason for not showing up to her birthday party, she claims. I mentioned earlier in the week that there was a big bash thrown to celebrate her birthday. Her mom, Janice, was throwing it. Her friends were there. Apparently, when she didn't show up, her mom was in tears. She got into a big fight with her best friend over the no-show. Rumor had it's because she was loaded, too loaded to show up. But another source is saying now what it was that she didn't feel attractive enough to go.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I'm retarded. What's wrong with you?
If Amy, nothing.
Then why does your face look like that?
If Amy being unattractive is the prerequisite for her showing up places or not, she should just call in the box now.
Exactly.
It's over because you're done.
You get the feeling she hasn't looked in a mirror in several months.
Amy
was quite surprised.
According to this friend, Amy thinks that the effects of her hard living lifestyle may be affecting her appearance.
No. Hogwash.
I refuse to believe that. I think tooth loss is natural.
Sure.
For a girl in her 20s.
Sure.
With face disease. And
what if she hasn't looked in a mirror in a long time? And it's like the girls on the show The Swan. And she's been locked away.
You put her in front of the curtain and the pull her back. She sees that and goes, wow, I need a good moisturizer. That's what she says to
Perhaps
herself.
Perhaps I should exfoliate.
And maybe some dentures and a good wash and blow. And a haircut, too, for that matter.
Hey, now.
Today's celebrity birthday is Ed Begley Jr. You know him for being a crazy environmentalist tree-hugging dude. But he also happens to be an excellent actor.
Terrific
Sometimes
actor,
people forget that fact. What was I watching this weekend he was in? Ah, it was A Mighty Wind, the Christopher Guest mockumentary about folk music. He's very, very funny in that. 59 years old today.
That guy. What would he need him for?
How are you going to come at the bank like that? Notorious B.E.G. David Copperfield's 52 years old today. He's a magician. Who rapes?
Allegedly.
Molly Shannon from Saturday Night Live is 44 years old today. Amy Poehler, also from Saturday Night Live, is 37. Alexis Bledel turns 27. And Nick Jonas of the Jonas Brothers. That's an animated series on Nickelodeon, right? The Jonas Brothers?
I think you're right.
They're not real, those guys, right?
Right.
They're drawn.
CGI.
Yeah. He is 16 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I welcome.
Why am I still watching The Hills? Somebody remind me again of why I tune in every Monday night.
I'll remind you. It's because it's the most electrifying television show with the most compelling characters, namely my beautiful, picturesque Aryan bitch, Heidi.
All right, Spencer. I didn't even ask you to step up to the microphone yet. Yeah. But here's my point, Lisa, is that I tune in every week, and I know the joke has been, particularly this season, that nothing ever happens on The Hills.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you something. Nothing ever happens on The Hills.
Are you saying nothing happens on The Hills?
I'm saying nothing happens.
You're saying when things happen, it's not there?
Yes, I'm saying that, and I'm also saying this. I will also add this to what I just said, which was that. And that is that if at the end of this season, Lauren and Heidi don't become friends, then I am going to blow something up. Because this entire season has been nothing but Lauren going, yeah, it's too bad Heidi and I aren't friends anymore. And then Heidi going, well, I sure wish Lauren and I were still friends. That's the show every single week.
Listen to me. What's
the point of doing all that if they're not building the dramatic tension up to the point where now they have to be friends, right?
I don't know what Heidi's been telling you, but I will bet my neckbeard on the fact that they will never, ever, ever be friends again. Because Elsie, she done stabbed me in the back, did me dirty, okay?
That's what you say. I know that's what you say.
Yeah, right. Heidi kind of misses her, I think.
Yes, definitely. In fact, I have some clips from last night's show, Lisa. I'm glad you brought that up. Because, as you know, earlier in the season, it was Stephanie, Spencer's sister, who came to mix things up because she used to be friends with Lauren, and then there was all sorts of tension. So, Spencer, you basically dropped Stephanie. You're not even talking to her anymore, right?
Okay. Done for. Might as well be dead.
Well, now it's Holly. Now it's Heidi's sister, Holly, who's come to Los Angeles. And, of course, she used to be friends with Lauren also. And here's a little bit of the conversation he had on last night's Hill show.
Definitely need to meet people. I mean, the only people I know in this whole city are you and Lauren.
Yeah, you should totally hang out with Lauren. She's really cool.
I sense some sarcasm from you, Spencer, right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you mean?
Have you talked to her or anything? No, I actually haven't. I tried to keep in touch with her, but you just lose touch with people. I don't know. I know that you guys were, like, really close for a long time, but now it's a little awkward, but that, I don't know. I can't, like, tell you who to hang out with.
While you're living under this roof, there's no Lauren fraternizing, socializing.
Well, it would definitely be nice to see a familiar face.
It's 15 million people in L.A., and she's saying that she wants to go hang out with Lauren. I need to get out of here. It's always a pleasure.
So that's it. You pretty much just laid down the law, Spencer, that you get to decide who she's friends with, right, Spence?
Her dad. If she wants to go see someone, I don't even know why you care.
Because
you're not going to be there.
I'm paying the bills. You know what I'm saying?
She's just sleeping.
I'm making the checks.
In the spare room.
She's lucky. I let her breathe my air. Okay. I've allowed her to come into my home.
And
why don't you just shut your goddamn mouth while a man's talking? Okay?
Well, what you've actually done is ask her to leave. She'd been there about 3 days. You told her you wanted her to move out.
By inviting her into my world, she's now involved in the Shakespearean like show that is The Hills. And that's brought her worldwide fame and fortune, and she should be thankful and grateful that I don't destroy her and kill her and make her not exist anymore.
Fame and fortune, why is she still sleeping on your couch?
Because she wants to be a part of the world that is Spence Dog.
All right,
you're
wrong.
At the end of the show, Heidi is out with a coworker, and she's kind of starting to talk about how much she misses Lauren. Now that Holly got together with Lauren and they actually did hang out, Heidi's starting to think about that. I want you to listen to this. I want you to tell me if you don't see some sort of reconciliation coming between those two.
My sister went out to lunch with Lauren the other day. The
Did you know Lauren before? Like,
yeah.
We were all friends. It was like the Three Musketeers for a while. We were all hanging out. We were all together. So I'm not going to say don't be friends with her. It just makes me so sad.
Well, I mean, it's not like, know? Yeah, because it's not all bad.
No, Lauren and I had this little time of fighting, but we had years of a friendship. We were best friends for years. I never even had a best friend like that. It's just so unfortunate how things have ended in our lives and how we don't have our friendship anymore because she didn't like my boyfriend. And then I said things out of anger that I didn't mean. I don't know. Maybe Holly will, like, piece everything out, or I don't know. Maybe one day by, you know, like a miracle, we'll be friends again. Who knows? Maybe one day.
Maybe one day, Spencer. It sounds like you're the problem here, my friend.
I wasn't paying attention. I heard girls talking
so
much.
That's your girlfriend. That's
but have Heidi. You seen my six-pack? What does it matter at the end of the day?
I haven't seen
I'm shredded. I've got great hair, and my screenplay will be, you know, once I get that released into the mainstream and the audience can check out my work.
You have a screenplay?
Yeah.
What's it about?
It's pretty amazing. Okay, it's going to star Al Pacino and Robert De Niro, much like this new
Righteous
movie.
Kill.
Yeah, Righteous Kill.
That's
and
been
Al Pacino
done, yeah.
is a Vietnam veteran that returns from war to become a mime. And Robert De Niro is a short order cook that's tough talking and has been around the block.
Okay, that's okay.
And
I'm
then
sorry,
they move in together.
All right, and, yeah. That's good.
And
I think we
funny
got it.
Things happen.
I would like to see that movie, actually, now that you think. All right, here's the last question before we let you go, Spencer.
Spit it out, Brenda.
Don't come back. What happens if Heidi decides against your objections that she wants to be friends with Lauren and she chooses her over you?
I'm going to waterboard her.
What?
Yeah.
You can't. I don't think you can do that.
Did I say that out loud?
Yeah, you did.
Yes, you did say that out loud.
And I'm going to, you know, maybe buy a BMW and some denim.
Okay, well,
that seems like a good
sick.
Answer.
If that's what it takes to make you feel better, thanks for stopping by.
No sweat, Captain.
I personally think, Lisa, we deserve a lot of credit for talking about anything else other than Megan Fox today. I'd like you to admit that you knew it was going to be hard for us, but we pulled it off.
You did. You talked to J.J. Abrams, Michael Chiklis. Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
You did
whatever.
Good. I'm
Gustavo,
impressed.
Whatever.
Yeah, you did that too. You managed to actually have a show.
I wanted to clear the schedule and spend all 5 hours on the new Megan Fox story. 1-800-520-1067 if you want to call for Kevin Bean's What to Do Nephew. Your calls are coming up next. But Megan Fox is in the new GQ, the October issue, which is on newsstands when? Can somebody give me a street date, please?
I don't know.
We don't know.
It's okay, man. It'll be out. Relax.
I must drive there now and wait for it. You can go to the Kevin and Bean page of krock.com and see the video shoot of Megan Fox's photo shoot for the GQ magazine that we're talking about right now. But this interview that is inside, and Megan Fox, by the way, doesn't do a lot of interviews. You don't see her quoted very often in interviews. She's a pretty quiet, private person, it seems like, which is another thing that's perfect about her. But she admits in the magazine that she was once in love with a stripper.
Oh.
Apparently she was just 18 years old, guys, when she moved from her small town in Tennessee to make it in the big city of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
She was new in town and for some reason was hanging out at the body shop, I guess, and fell in love with a stripper named Nikita. Or at least that's what she told her name was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how does Megan Fox get into the body shop in the first place? I don't mean legally. Oh. I mean, it's 18 or over, so that's cool. But why is she just going to strip clubs? I don't get that. I know in the article she says she just broke up with her boyfriend, but why is she gravitating towards strip clubs, I wonder? Why is she frequenting
That's a great question. Yeah, I don't know whether it was she went with friends or she knew somebody there or what the reason was, but yeah, that's a great question. That was the year my boyfriend broke up with me, and I decided, and here's where she gives a shout-out to her mom, who may not have known this before the interview came out. Sorry, Mommy. That I was in love with this girl that worked at the body shop. I decided that I was going to get her to love me back, and I went out of my way to create a relationship with this girl, a stripper named Nikita. Mm. So you and Megan Fox, Ralph, have something in common, which is you meet a stripper and you're determined that she's going to love you back.
Yes.
Which is hard to do, right? I mean, I would imagine it's pretty difficult to forge
Apparently
a relationship
for Megan, it was. Yeah.
With a stripper. I mean, what's the mindset of most of these girls is probably, you don't get involved with your clientele, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, it depends on how she met her. You know, if she met her in a social situation where you said, like, she knew a girl who was working there or something, that's one thing. But if you go in as a customer, it's almost impossible to get past that hurdle
get
and
some
start
traction.
Dating somebody.
Yeah.
But now, if this stripper was a lesbo or at all bi, don't you think it would be almost impossible for her to resist Megan Fox?
Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of them are, right?
Oh, yeah. A lot of the strippers are bi.
Yeah.
Because they've been, you know, brutalized by men, so they're shaky on guys at best.
Yeah.
Well, they're already dead inside. I mean, that we've established, right? Psycho Mike, you have to take the K-Rock microphone down to the body shop and see if anyone knows anything about this Nikita. You just, I mean, I think Ralph's right. It's unlikely she would still be there 4 years later, but somebody may know something.
Consider it done, Mr. Bean.
I mean, there have to be photos or something, right?
Yeah.
Fox goes on in the GQ interview that Nikita would do these beautiful slow dances to Aerosmith ballads. The actress also said that she would bring the Russian stripper gifts and try to inspire her to quit her line of work, which I imagine, by the way, is also pretty common if you're a stripper, that you every other customer is trying to talk you out of stripping, which...
Well, that's fine, but they better be ready to support you.
Only the ones that want to date you. Most people are trying to talk strippers out of stripping at a strip club. That very rarely happens. Usually you're trying to talk them into doing more kinds of naughty things, not less.
But it's, I mean, in this article, Megan Fox was trying to talk Nikita into quitting that line of work.
Megan Fox has obviously got problems.
How dare you, by the way, for saying that.
You know what I'm saying, you know, you don't try to talk a stripper out of stripping.
Unless she had some type of weird empathy because she's a female, too, and she's like, come on, you deserve better.
Maybe she wasn't happy, Ralph.
She just said, I loved watching her do these dances, these slow Aerosmith ballads. Well, that's how you fall in love with them, because that's what they're doing. All of a sudden, you don't want her to do that?
If then she talks to her and she says she's miserable in her job,
well, Ivan has
you would want her to be happy.
Me here from country, from homeland, and now he's forcing me to dance so I bring money for the mafia. Unless that's the story. Yeah. Then shut up, Megan Fox. Let Nikita dance on.
What about Nikita, by the way? I don't know what the situation was that she left behind in Tbilisi or wherever the hell she came from, but imagine she gets to America and she's dancing at the body shop and Megan Fox is coming in every night hitting on her. She has to think the United States is the best place on earth, right?
You're pretty quick to throw around Tbilisi now, aren't you, buddy?
Yeah. I know all there is to know about Tbilisi.
The tip of your tongue. Tbilisi's just coming out. Every other comment is coming to Tbilisi now.
I'll never forget Tbilisi. Despite the brief relationship with a woman, Megan Fox said she does not identify herself as gay. Look, I'm not a lesbian, she says. I just think that all humans are born with the ability to be attracted to both sexes.
What the hell just happened there?
My computer went into sleep because I hadn't touched the screen in a while.
Oh, okay.
God forbid. Yeah, how that goes.
God
it disappears.
Forbid the computer go into sleep mode. Bean can't stand it. So he's got to get some lotion and stroke the mouse.
No, wow. It's not that. I was in the middle of reading a sentence. I just had to shake the mouse to get the paragraph to
come
back.
That's what they called it. Shaking the mouse.
I was really hoping it was your mouse that you were shaking.
Sound like you're pumping a bottle of Jergens. Getting some lotion out.
I need more lotion to continue the story.
I'm dry. Getting some chafing.
It's just the mouse, guys. Come on.
Developing dust.
Where was I? I just think that all humans are born with the ability to be attracted to both sexes. I mean, I could see myself in a relationship with a girl.
Yeah.
Olivia Wilde, who, by the way, is the unbelievably hot actress on House, which returns tonight at Fox at 8 o'clock, is so sexy that she, and here's the expression I want to start using, she makes me want to strangle a mountain ox with my bare hands.
I thought you were strangling the mountain ox there for a minute during that story.
She is mesmerizing. Lately, I've been obsessed with Jenna Jameson, too, but oh boy. So that's right there. That's your beautiful Megan Fox.
You can't start a sentence by saying, I don't identify myself as lesbian, but I could absolutely be in a relationship with a woman, and I'd love to bang Olivia Wilde and Jenna Jameson.
I agree.
Just because you're not identifying. Look, Bean doesn't identify himself as gay either, but we know
the
truth.
Well, because I'm not attracted to men at all, but Megan Fox, it sounds like, has got a thing for the ladies here.
Zac Efron.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's dreamy, though. You can't blame me for that. I mean, that's above and beyond. All right, here's the update. GQ delivered tomorrow to newsstands, so we will need that at the whatever 24-hour newsstand you need to go to on the way into work tomorrow, guys. We need that issue here tomorrow. That's
Bean's
all.
He's
going to
be standing outside a newsstand on the island, shaking his mouse.
You know he is.
Can you open 5 minutes early?
I'm going to be strangling a mountain ox with my bare hands. Is what I'm going to be doing. All right, so that's your Megan Fox update.
Sorry, you must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
1-800-520-1067. That's the toll-free number to get on the air. Today you get a pair of tickets to the LG World Championships of Freestyle Motocross coming up on Saturday, September 27th at the LA County Fair. And how about this? A Mountain High season pass valid during the 08-09 season. All of that just for giving us a call for Kevin Mead's What to Do Nephew.
Very cool.
Let's go to Tim in LA. He's on line 8. I think he has late-breaking Megan Fox news, which is all I really care about. Hey, Tim, welcome to the show. What to do?
Hey, what's up?
What to do, Tim? Yes.
You can hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. I saw Makita Cash probably about 5 or 6 years ago in the Valley. I think she worked at the Blue Zebra, and she was smoking hot then, and I can't believe that Megan Fox would be into her.
Now, what makes you think that your Nikita is the same as Megan Fox's Nikita?
Well, I know that she's Russian, and I'm telling you what, if you saw this girl, you'd understand why Megan Fox is into her.
Right, but what I'm saying is there's probably 20 Russian Nikitas in Southern California stripping. Wouldn't you imagine, Ralph?
No, I don't know. Do you think so?
More than that, with La Femme Nikita, the movie that was popular back in the day, I'm sure a lot of them used that as their strip name.
Well, that's true. I could be wrong then.
But the timing is right. About 5 years ago.
Yeah, but when you were talking about it, I thought, I wonder if they're talking about Nikita Cash.
And yeah, well, maybe so. We have the
crack K-Rock named Anita Cash.
We have the K-Rock research team on this one, and we are going to find her. If she's still alive, we're going to find her. That's all there is to it. Thanks for the call. Speaking of strippers, let's try Ashley in Van Nuys. She has a fantastic stripper story, I think. Hi, Ash. What'd it do?
Hey, guys. What's up? What'd it do?
What'd it do, Ashley?
So, for my 19th birthday, I went to a strip club for the first time, and I was very picky about the first girl I got my lap dance from, and she was a really pretty blonde girl named Brittany, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up taking her home.
You spectacular woman, you.
How really? About that? So, when you hear us say it's pretty hard to win with a stripper, you say, no, not hard at all, easy.
Of course not. Yeah, no, actually, we ended up hooking up a few times, became really good friends with her. I still talk to her. She works in Vegas now. I was actually just out there to visit her for my 21st birthday.
That's fantastic. That's great.
Are you a lesbian, Ashley, or are you bi?
I'm bi.
Spectacular.
Good for you.
Well, it's a lot easier for women, obviously. I mean, if you want to get attention from strippers, the best thing you can do is bring a girl into a strip club.
Sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Thanks for the call, Ashley. Good times right there. Let's go to Corona. Yeah, Eric?
Hey, what'd it do?
What'd it do? E-Train?
Hey, I was just calling because this weekend, or last weekend actually, me and my buddies went up to Lake Arrowhead to do some cliff diving.
Sure.
And my buddy broke both his legs.
Oh.
And I had to get airlifted out.
Oh, no.
Dude.
Was there alcohol involved?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quite a bit of alcohol.
Is that a good idea to drink and cliff dive, you think?
What was that?
Is that a good idea to drink and cliff dive?
No, not at all.
Yeah. Guess not.
How big were the cliffs that you guys were diving off of?
Well, there was ranges of them. There was like some that were like 28 feet, but my buddy was he was an idiot, and he tried to do like a front flip 180 off a 60-footer.
Oh.
Jeez.
And what happened? He didn't hit the water? He hit the ground? Is that what happened?
I think we lost him.
Yeah, Eric.
We lost Eric?
Yeah, he must have just dropped. Sorry.
Okay. Wow, that's a bad deal right there.
Yeah, it's really not about how high the cliff is. It's about how deep the water is. Yes. Usually it's more important.
That's true.
Exactly.
Yeah, if he went feet first and hit bottom, that would be bad.
A lot of times, too, people don't dive outwards enough.
That's
and
true,
they come back
yeah.
into
yes.
the mountain or cliff, and that can be bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have the stones for that kind of sport.
Shocking.
I'm sorry.
I
know.
Really?
I know you're surprised, but I would not.
Is he not a cliff diver? Because I would think with all the extreme sports he partakes in, that would just be another one on the list.
He would thoroughly explore cliff diving. Yeah. I just assumed it. Yeah.
How strange.
I pass on that. Let's try it. David in Long Beach, line 5, please. Hi, David. Thanks for calling the Kevin Beach Show. What it do?
Hey, what's up, guys? What it do?
Hi, David.
I know, Bean, you had a little bit of a bad experience on your trip. I had a similar experience a few years ago. My passport ran out, like expired while I was in England.
Okay, now what happens then if you had a valid passport when you went but not to get back home? What do you do?
We had to go to the U.S. Embassy and take care of it. We got stuck in England for 2 extra days while they settled it. They got me a temporary, I guess, visa to let me fly but I couldn't
land.
No.
He's calling us from the airplane. He's just circling.
Yeah, but you know, my passport was only good for 5 years. My parents was good for 10, and so they weren't worried. They thought I had the same date as they did, but apparently I didn't. It was only good for 5 years. So
I gotcha. Well, I mean, at least you got to go on your trip. I would have rather been stuck in Finland for a couple of extra days because I was able to get there than not even be able to get on the plane because my passport expired.
Yeah, that is true.
All right, thanks for the call. Let's do one more. Heidi is on line 8 this morning. She'll be our final call for the day. Hi, Heidi. Thanks for calling. What'd it do?
Matthew.
What'd it do, Heidi?
Hi. I heard Ralph talking about how you can not be a lesbian if you want to bang girls, other girls, but I kind of feel like, and I'm hoping that there's other women like this, I'm like a selective part lesbian because I like kissing girls.
Uh-huh.
I like boobs because I don't have boobs.
Right.
I want to touch boobs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want her hoo-hoo dilly touching my hoo-hoo dilly, and I'll want to touch her.
There's lots of girls like you, Heidi. Yeah. That is not at all rare.
That's not exactly what Megan was describing. She was saying she could easily see herself in a relationship with a woman, and she was in love with this stripper and stuff, and that's another level.
I figure there's going to be some point, if I don't find a good man soon, that I'm going to turn into a golden girl, and then I'll just play with some wrinkly old boobs till I die. But right now, I still have a total appreciation for the penis, but I also like boobs,
Okay. All right. So you just need to find a guy with big boobs, and you're safe.
We know a guy named Tad we'll hook you up with. So there you go. Thank you for the call. Thanks to all of our great guests on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. Michael Chiklis for stopping by to talk about The Shield, the final act. It looks like another fantastic... Well, you've seen the episode, Ralph. It's a great episode tonight,
I've seen like the first four or five of them.
Yeah.
It's just an amazing season. It's all coming to a head.
That is going to be tonight at 10 o'clock on FX. And, of course, Michael Chiklis is one of the co-stars in a movie we're very much looking forward to coming out next week, I think, called Eagle Eyes. So check that out. Thanks to J.J. Abrams for joining us. He is back on TV with a new series on Fox called Fringe. Episode 2 airs tonight at 9.
You know what else airs tonight?
House.
Ah!
8 o'clock.
New House.
I'm not going to be able to look at Olivia Wilde the same. The whole show, I'm just going to be
Megan
a man.
Wants her.
Mm. Yeah, yep.
I know. He'll be strangling the mountain ox.
Thanks to our friend Gustavo Arellano for joining us as well. His new book is called Orange County, A Personal History. I've been taking notes. He's got an in-store tonight at the Border Store, 8852 Washington Boulevard, Pico Rivera. That's at 7 o'clock tonight if you want to get your copy signed. And I think that's everybody from today. Tomorrow, got a big show. Beck is going to be here, ladies and gentlemen. Beck is going to be stopping by.
We're going to have to make some room for his hair.
His hair is stirring me, I'll tell you that.
Some equipment out of here. He's got some hair these days.
Yeah, he does. Beck is, of course, playing the Sold Out Hollywood Bowl show this Saturday night, so he'll stop by. We also are going to continue our Megan Watch coverage of this GQ article story, and we're going to follow up with some strippers tomorrow and find out the ways to get to a stripper's heart. So we got that on the program tomorrow. Harvey Levin will join us from TMZ.com. There may be a defector in the Kevin Amin family. We may be losing Nick, by the way, the sign holder.
Oh, where am I going?
Well... Sounds like he may be divorcing us. He may be firing us.
I'm going to be a screenwriter.
So we'll find out, and maybe we'll make the decision tomorrow that it's not him, it's not us. It's just we've all grown up a little bit. It's time to move on. I don't know. I guess we'll find out. That's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Stick around. Cat Corbett's next with 40 minutes nonstop. How about some Social D, One Day as a Lion, Foo Fighters, Postal Service, and more right after this on